93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
And today is Wednesday, March 14th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, thousands of students inspired by a growing protest movement over gun violence will stand up in their classrooms today and walk out of their schools in a nationwide demonstration 1 month after a gunman killed 17 people at a high school in Florida. The 17-minute protests unfolding at hundreds of schools across the nation are intended to pressure Congress to approve gun control legislation after the massacre at Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland and will come 10 days before major protests in Washington and elsewhere. Students are scheduled to leave the classroom at 10 a.m. in their local time zone. School administrators have been grappling with how to respond. Some districts have welcomed or even tactically encouraged walkouts, while others have threatened disciplinary action against students who participate. It is unlikely that students in Washington will quickly heed the demands of the students. Although Florida last week raised the minimum age to purchase a firearm to 21 and extended the waiting period to 3 days, President Trump on Monday abandoned his pledge to seek national level reforms that the National Rifle Association opposed. In support of the walkout, Viacom said that its networks, including MTV, BET, Nickelodeon, and Comedy Central, will suspend regularly scheduled programming for 17 minutes, and students will take over MTV's social media accounts during the protest. There are many local schools taking part in the walkout this morning. Many schools have indicated that this is a student walkout and that the public is not invited to attend. Some road closures will go into effect as a safety measure for the students. The Clearview Regional School District in Gloucester County has canceled classes today, and that is not because of the walkout, but because of a threat. The district says they received word from Harrison Township Police Department about an anonymous potential threat to the high school. Members of Gloucester County Sheriff's Department and New Jersey State Police canine units conducted a sweep of the school overnight. They did not find any weapons. However, because of the lack of specifics on the threat, the district is continuing to investigate the issue and decided to close all schools today, March 14th. 2018. Anyone with information is asked to contact Harrison Township Police Department.
So that's the whole school district?
Yeah, that's the whole school district. Yeah. Man. Stephen Hawking, whose brilliant mind ranged across time and space, though his body was paralyzed by disease, died early Wednesday at the age of 76. Hawking died peacefully at his home in Cambridge, England. The best-known theoretical physicist of his time, Hawking wrote loosely of the mysteries of space, time, and black holes that his book, A Brief History of Time, became an international bestseller, making him one of science's biggest celebrities since Albert Einstein. He was a great scientist and an extraordinary man whose work and legacy will live on for many years, his children Lucy, Robert, and Tim wrote in a statement. Even though his body was attacked by ALS when Hawking was 21, he stunned doctors by living with the normally fatal illness for more than 50 years, which is amazing. I think that's the
it's just astonishing, especially when you see the shape he was in. He survived the bout with pneumonia that, you know, took away his what was left of his voice.
Yeah, so a severe attack of pneumonia in 1985 left him breathing through a tube, forcing him to communicate through an electronic voice synthesizer that gave him that distinctive robotic monotone. But he continued his science work, appeared on television, and married for a second time. In sports this morning...
Ball sacks are yummy.
Miles Turner scored 25 points, including two free throws with 21 seconds remaining, and the Indiana Pacers beat the Sixers 101-98 last night in a possible Eastern Conference playoff preview. Joel Embiid had 29 points and 12 rebounds, and Ben Simmons finished with 10 points, 13 rebounds, and 10 assists for the Sixers, who saw their 13-game winning streak at home come to an end. They're on the road tomorrow night with a game in New York against the Knicks, and the Flyers are off until tomorrow night when they'll host the Carolina Hurricanes. Tight end Brent Celek, the longest-tenured member of the Eagles and professional athlete in Philadelphia, was released by the team yesterday in a move that will free up some salary cap space. Celek played 11 seasons in town and missed just one regular season game during his time with the Eagles, and that was because he couldn't pass concussion protocol on a short week in 2012. The Eagles are about $9 million over salary cap. They also restructured right tackle Lane Johnson's deal in a move that saves the team an additional $7.5 million. With the news that Haloti Ngata will reportedly sign with the team, fan favorite Bo Allen will also not return next season.
I believe that the G is silent.
Okay, so what is it?
Nada.
Nada. Bo confirmed that will be the case with a post on his personal Instagram account where he wrote, "It's crazy to think I got to Philadelphia 4 years ago. Thank you to the entire Eagles organization for giving me a shot. Thank you to the coaches and staff that have helped mold me into the player and person I am today. Huge shout out to the city and fans. Thank you for embracing me and showing this dude from the Midwest what it means to be from Philly."
And both class acts.
Yeah, bummer that both of them are
really gone. Really sucks.
Yep. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And that's what I have for you this morning.
Yeah, I mean, these are two guys that we've forged a friendship with over the years. And, you know, it's wild because I don't know the inner workings of professional sports. I don't pay attention to what goes on in the upper management and how they make the team selections and moves. I just enjoy watching games and I like to watch. And that's pretty much it. That's my involvement with it. But you do have an attachment to it. But I was after the Super Bowl victory... Teams always do this.
They do.
They always do it. It's part. It happens every season, whether you win or you lose.
Yep. You have to.
But when you really when you win a championship, that makes the team, that particular group of guys, even more special. They have a bond. They have a stronger bond with the city. Even that.
Sure.
And then right after, boom, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them end up going. And
they
it sucks,
did it. They
you know?
Did it. They won the Super Bowl. Yep. Why change anything? And I know that's like a simple question, but sure. I'm like, don't do anything. Just leave it.
Well, they have to do stuff because other teams are doing stuff. And, you know, win or lose, the Super Bowl or the playoffs, this is just what happens around this time of the year.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if this was like a TV sitcom, we could try and figure out a way to... mess everything up for Bo to go to another team, so you would have to come back to Philadelphia, right?
Well, I guess so. Yeah, maybe they'll use the sitcom defense.
They might.
I don't know, but it sucks because we know those guys and they're nice people.
That's such a big part of it. Yeah. You know, we're fans of them as players and as people.
Yeah. All right, so we'll probably talk about that later. Who knows? We got a lot of stuff coming up on the program today, and we're going to just remind you, Word of the Week prize this week we're giving away on Friday. It's a trip to go to Los Angeles to see the premiere of Ready Player One. It opens in theaters March 30th. So. Letter at the end of the show. We also have a secret text word today, which we do on Wednesdays. We have a chance to see. Listen to this. Bill Murray and Jan Vogler and friends. This is it's an appearance that they're going to do. Now, this guy, Jan Vogler, is a renowned cellist.
Yes.
And he and Bill have forged this relationship. It started on a flight together. They met each other. They started talking.
It's Bill weird.
They started to appreciate each other in what they do in their own fields. And Bill has now become... this huge fan of classical music. He never really enjoyed it before, but now he's in love with it. And so he got together with this guy, and they're touring together. And it's like this evening of literature and music with Bill Murray and this renowned cellist. So it's a really interesting thing. They're going to be the Academy of Music on April 4th. And what we're going to do is give away some tickets. So text the word secret to 39333. We'll send a word back to you later on. We'll ask you to call him with that word. And we'll see if you can get it. And we'll also grab a random texter as well. And with this, we're going to talk to Bill and Jan next week.
That is awesome.
Never spoken to Bill Murray.
No, this week.
Oh, was it this week?
Tomorrow.
Oh, my God. I got to do my homework. Well, that's pretty incredible. So
yeah.
What time are they going to be on, Kate?
Around 9:30 tomorrow morning.
Okay. This should be pretty cool. So Bill Murray
You've
and
got
Jan
some clothes Zobler. To clean.
So text word secret to 39333. You might win some tickets to go see that. All right, we also have, let's see, DJ Cumberbund.
Yeah.
Is giving us a call this morning real quick, because yesterday we debuted a name called, it's not Music Mashup. It's called Mashup Madness.
I don't remember.
Sorry, so anyhow, we played a game yesterday called Mashup Madness, and a lot of the songs that we played were from this guy, DJ Cumberbund, and he found out we were playing the game. Somebody, a fan of his, had tweeted during the game, and he tuned in, so we'll pop him on. We'll say hi real quick. He's in New York City. Just ask him about these mixes that he does, which are great.
See if he can do something for us.
And we'll play the game again at some point in the near future. And then our friend Diane Heary of Heary Casting. If a movie's being made in Philly, Diane's one who is the casting agent for it. And there's a movie coming up, and they need some extras, and she's going to get us some details on that a little bit later on. So if you're a budding actor, or you just have always had a fantasy about being in a film at some point in time and keeping your clothes on, then Diane will have the info that you need. And we're going live on Fox Good Day this morning as well. So we have a lot on our plate. And some other surprises might pop up during the program as well. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back in a second. I'll get you that stupid question and the entertainment news. So stay close.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? Well, Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go right now. Check out his Ready for Love diamond engagement ring collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free, all at the perfect price. One place, one price. Steven Singer Jewelers.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
The question I have for you this morning, with the departure of Brent Celek, who is now the longest tenured athlete in the city of Philadelphia. 215-263-WMMR. All right, so Brent Celek, no longer a professional athlete in Philadelphia, who is now the longest tenured athlete in Philly. Call now, 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you can get the answer correct. Today is Wednesday, March 14th, and I have a handful of birthdays to go through this morning while we're waiting for your answer. It is the 70th birthday of Billy Crystal today.
Billy Crystal is 70. That's a big one.
Yeah, it is a big one.
He seems to have been around forever because he started, I first saw him when he was basically just a kid doing stand-up.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Did you know him before Soap, Steve?
You
knew of his work?
Yes,
okay.
I was aware of him before. And actually, I'd seen him. They brought him out for a Muhammad Ali roast. And I'm thinking that might have been before Soap. And because he did a great Muhammad Ali impression.
Yeah.
And everyone loved him. But, yeah, he was doing stand-up quite often.
You want to see a pretty good reflection of his life? He did a one-man show called 700 Sundays.
Yeah, I never got to see that.
It's really, really good. It's bittersweet. There's a lot of... He goes through his life. He lost his father at a young age. And
yeah.
He was still in high school, and it killed him. It was horrible. Mm. But it's a really, really well-done... He's funny, he's creative, you know, obviously, but it gives the story of his life. It's very, very well done.
Well, initially it would have been easy to dismiss him as just like, oh, he's just like a surface comic. Like, he doesn't have nuance. Yeah. But then you realize he really does have an incredibly sharp sense of humor.
It's amazing. 70 today, yes.
We have a thing called Billy Crystal Nick Clicks.
Do it.
I have no idea what it is.
Have to.
You guys want to take this?
It's his birthday. Right, it's the big 7-0.
I don't know what it means.
All right, here we go.
So you wake up to... spaghetti and meatballs. It's tacos, or he's been to Rickles' house.
That's him on Letterman.
Letterman, clearly.
I don't know. And some days the guys bring their own hot plates and make fires and... cook themselves. Uh-oh. Did I just spit
something? I don't know.
Oh, wow. He clicked.
That was a Crystal Nick click.
He clicked. Okay, hold on. Wow, let me do that again.
Guys bring their own hot plates and make fires and cook themselves. Oh. Did I just spit
something? I don't know. I wasn't going to say anything.
I have a frog in my throat.
How does that make you feel, Nick?
Well, we do have a lot in common.
You're in good company, man.
Oh, my God.
One of the brilliant comedic minds clicks as well.
That's hilarious. You know, he was friends with our old boss, John Fulham. He was a friend of Fulham. They knew each other a little
bit. I didn't
know that. Yeah, John spoke very highly of Billy and said that he just could not have been a kinder person. He's a worldly known good guy.
He is a worldly known good guy.
Yeah. How come John knew he should have had John?
Come on, man.
What are you holding out on us for?
John did not like exploiting his friendships too much for
what are friendships for if you can't exploit them?
Well, listen, in that one-man show, Steve, you find out, like, he was, as a kid, like, one of the people that looked after him was Billie Holiday.
The Billie Holiday.
And when his father died, Duke Ellington came to the funeral.
Oh, my God.
And so did Count Basie, because his dad was involved in the world of jazz. He was like he owned a record store.
I had no idea.
Pretty fascinating story.
And I always thought Billy Crystal was a stage name, but that's his real name.
Yeah.
Yeah, his father's name was Jack Crystal.
Yeah, and he would call Billie Holiday Miss Billy, and she would call him Mr. Billy.
Wow.
It was really, really sweet, yeah. So he is 70 years old today. Another great one, Michael Caine.
Oh, my God.
And Michael Caine is 85 years old
today. He's a legendary actor.
Yeah, what is he...
He was just in that movie with Morgan Freeman and Alan Arkin.
Yeah.
Going in Style.
Going in Style. You're
a legendary actor.
It was a caper, right? Like a bank heist or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Still working at 85, man.
Still working. Sharp as a tack and still does teach acting.
Hey, he's in Sherlock Gnomes.
Yeah.
Sherlock Gnomes?
Yes. Yeah, you know what?
That's the culmination of a long career.
We are going to have... We're going to have some gnomes come by the studio today for some pictures.
Okay. Right. So. And on Michael Caine's birthday.
It's my birthday. Yeah. I want you to take a picture with the gnome.
All right. So he's 85 today. Who else do we have? Chris Klein.
Yeah. Yes.
Casey loves this. Where he solos at the end here. Here we go.
Scooby-dooby-doo-bop. Scooby-dooby-doo-bop. Yeah, magic.
I love it. I cringe every time.
Every time, right?
American Pie. He's 39 today. Ansel Elgort, the actor as well. Movies like The Fault in Our Stars, Divergent, and he starred in Baby Driver.
Yes.
I
saw it.
I need to see it. Yeah, it's good.
Very good.
All right,
very
cool.
Kinetic. I love it.
24 today. It's also Taylor Hanson's birthday today.
Wow. Which Hanson is he?
I think he's the lead singer.
Okay.
Pretty sure. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe the drummer?
I don't know.
Well, Isaac is out of sight.
Jebediah?
Isaac is the older one.
Yeah.
And then
Taylor's
Zach.
The middle pretty one.
Okay, then he's the lead. He's the singer
Mbop.
So he is 39 today. We played some Hanson yesterday. Remember we did a mashup?
It was good.
Which we'll talk to DJ Cumberman about that later on today. Who else? Jamie Bell, actor from a bunch of stuff.
Well, it's funny, Press, because I saw
Fantastic Four.
I saw his picture up on the IMDb. I'm like, oh, is that Tom Holland? And it's not. It's Jamie Bell. But they both played Billy Elliot.
Oh.
Jamie in the movie and Tom Holland, I guess, on Broadway.
Very similar.
Yeah.
Looking, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's 33 today. Then you have director Wolfgang Petersen. A lot of great movies, Casey, including The Never-Ending Story.
It's a beautiful song, dude. Keep going.
I'm not going to do that, but who do you call it? Falcor, the luck dragon?
Yes.
Have you seen the dog that Meredith Trotter is fostering right now?
Yeah.
It looks like Falcor.
Oh, that is cool.
It's crazy.
I would agree.
Yes.
She showed us a picture, and Casey and her both pointed it out, and I'm like, you're spot on.
I got to see this dog.
The never-ending puppy.
Yes.
Also, he directed In the Line of Fire, Outbreak, The Perfect Storm, and Air Force One, among others.
Good stuff.
77 years old today. Quincy Jones, the conductor, composer, music producer.
It was a little controversial, an interview he gave recently where he besmirched the Beatles and said Michael Jackson stole a number of his hits.
And also that it was Richard Pryor had gay sex with Marlon Brando.
Marlon Brando.
Mm-hmm. He's 85 today. And then the last birthday is gymnast Simone Biles. And she's celebrating her 21st birthday today.
Yeah, she's in extraordinary shape.
Yep. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. Who is the longest tenured athlete in Philadelphia since Brent Celek is no longer with the Eagles? 215-263-WMMR, the number. And I'll go to Amy. Hi, Amy. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So what's the answer? Who is now the longest tenured athlete in Philadelphia?
That's going to be Claude Giroux.
That is right. Hang on a second, Amy. Mr. G is how long here? 10 plus years,
yeah.
10 plus years, all right. Since you got it right, I'm going to give you tickets to see Rain, a tribute to the Beatles celebrating the 50th anniversary of the release of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band for the first time. Rain will bring the historic album to life in its entirety for the psychedelic multimedia spectacular, plus all your early favorites. March 23rd through the 25th, the Academy of Music, and tickets and info are available at KimmelCenter.org. Where do we start? Let's start with Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time thinking recently. In July of 2017, the 31-year-old actor and activist was arrested in Savannah, Georgia for disorderly conduct, obstruction, and drunkenness. It went down after he tried to Bum a cigarette from strangers, one of whom was a cop. He became outraged when they refused, and after the officer warned him repeatedly to calm down.
Just do it!
He was eventually cuffed, and he was taken in.
He's a really, really good actor.
He's a really good actor who's so crazy intense. And then he had that camera that was supposed to be there for the Trump resistance, and he would keep getting into brawls with people in front of the camera.
Yeah.
He's been so wound so tightly for most of his life.
Yep.
Just do it!
That's his inspirational video.
Yeah. LaBeouf sat down with Esquire to discuss for their April cover story, and he said what went on in Georgia was mortifying. White privilege and desperation and disaster.
Just do it!
It came from a place of self-centered delusion. It was me trying to absolve myself of guilt for getting arrested. In short, LaBeouf admits, I effed up. That's what he said.
Okay.
The next day, he attended a party for the cast and crew of The Peanut Butter Falcon.
The Peanut Butter Falcon.
And while most people ignored the incident, he says his co-star Zachary Gottsagen took him to task, telling him, "You're already famous. This is my chance, and you're ruining it." He said to hear him say that, that he was disappointed in me, probably changed the course of my life. Because I was still fighting. I was still on my, look at how fast they release the videos. They don't release these. Just on my defense mechanism, fear garbage, he said.
Fear garbage.
And you can't do that to him. He keeps it 1,000 with you. And that S doesn't even make sense to him, LaBeouf said. He said, Zach can't not shoot straight, and bless him for it, because in that moment, I needed a straight shooter who I couldn't argue with.
We talked to him when that movie, The Battle of Shaker Heights, I think was coming out. And that was a Project Greenlight movie. Do you remember that series on HBO? Mm-hmm. So he was the star of that. And we had him on to talk about it. And even then, I mean, I think maybe he was going to go do the movie Holes. And he was sort of complaining about the industry and the way it operated. And he was just new to the industry.
Yeah.
So he said that mother effer is magical. Zach allowed me to be open to help when it came. LaBeouf, who is in treatment for addiction, acknowledges that his behavior made him a liability in Hollywood, but that he hopes still that he can redeem himself. And he can next be seen in Borg versus McEnroe on April 13th.
He's playing McEnroe, I assume?
He's playing the Borg, you know, the cube ship from Star Trek. Ben Affleck and Matt Damon's Pearl Street films are adopting inclusion riders, according to their head of strategic outreach. Inclusion riders ensure gender and racial parity among the production's cast and crew.
This might be our best shot yet, Preston, at getting in a movie.
Fanshan Cox DiGiovanni made the announcement on Monday, March 12th, via Twitter, crediting Michael B. Jordan, his production company, Outlier Society, was the first major operation to do so. In comments, she said that all projects produced via Pearl Street would meet diversity targets and that Affleck and Damon would request inclusion riders on all projects that they acted in. Jordan made the movie and made the move in response to Frances McDormand's call to do so at the Oscars during her acceptance speech for Best Actress. And director Paul Feig announced Tuesday that his Feig Co. Entertainment was also boarding the Inclusion Express.
His production company is called Go Feig Yourself.
Go Feig Yourself. No, he rose to fame for Spy, Bridesmaids, Ghostbusters, and Ghostbusters?
Ghostbusters. You did. We knew what you meant.
Ghostbusters and Snatch. Is he the guy that's behind the Marvel stuff?
No, that's Kevin Feige.
Kevin Feige.
But this is, who do you call it? Husband, right? Is this Melissa McCarthy's husband?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
No. Who'd you say? What'd you say the name was?
Paul Feig.
Ben Falcone. Is Melissa McCarthy's husband.
Yeah, that's not her husband.
Okay.
Different guy.
Yeah. Different guy.
All right. Moving on. Kim Kardashian may have welcomed Chicago less than 2 months ago, but she's already talking baby number 4.
Really?
But that's it, though. She said, "My home and my heart feel really full right now in the best way, and I don't think I can handle more than that.
My heart is full."
So she's on the cover story of Elle Magazine's April 2018 issue.
You seem she'd do the same thing that she did with Chicago, right?
What?
Have the baby with the surrogate?
Yeah.
Because I think she can't have any more, right?
I believe that's the case, yes.
I can't.
My time is spread really thin, and I think it's important that in all couples, the mom give the husband as much attention as the kids.
I saw did you see the shot that came out yesterday on Instagram? It was her naked eating SpaghettiOs this time, Preston.
SpaghettiOs?
No.
I would doubt it.
I mean, it's
It was her eating spaghetti last week. Yeah. Going through all the pasta.
Kardashian and husband Kanye also share North and Saint. She told Elle that she and West help each other become their best selves. She said, he taught me to have more of an opinion, and I've taught him to be a bit more calm or cautious. We're a good balance.
Shut the f*** up!
She also dished on the surrogacy process after her placenta accreta became insurmountable. She said it was the most painful. She said, adding that Kris Jenner had to witness the first ordeal of the doctor's intervention during North's birth. And she said, to this day, if you mention it to her, she'll cry. It was traumatic. It's a really tricky thing. She recalled the process of selecting which embryos to implant in the surrogate. And they had said, what sex do you put in? I just said, whichever one is the healthiest. Pick the healthiest one, and that was a girl.
Hmm.
As far as the surrogate herself goes, she said that she just knew that she could trust her, adding that she didn't make her adhere to strict guidelines beyond the obvious no drugs, drinking, and smoking.
But we heard the surrogate was not aware of who the parents were, right?
That's what I thought, too. She said, she goes, I straight up told her, look, I eat donuts every single day. If you want donuts and ice cream, go for it. Do whatever you feel. I'm not going to be picky like that. It's just ridiculous. So I thought they didn't know.
Yes, that was a big secret.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I got a little bit confused.
Are you Preston?
No. The surrogate did not know whose baby she was holding.
That's what we thought.
That's what we thought.
Sitting here telling, I straight up told her, look, I eat donuts every single day. If you want to eat donuts and ice cream, go for it.
Well, maybe leading up to it, I think, because otherwise, then you go, you know what? I want $5 million for this.
Well, that was the reason we thought that only up until the last second.
Yeah, but once you sign the contract is signed. So.
You know, yeah, but you could also.
There's no way you're not going to not know who it is the entire time. They have to communicate.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So in the beginning, maybe she didn't know who the parents were.
Yeah, sure, it's probably through a service. Mm-hmm.
Through a service. All right, well, yeah, I'm going to get
paid. Yeah, you have an agreement.
$50,000, blah, blah, blah.
No matter who it is.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I think we were under the impression that they were keeping it as close to the best as they could for as long as they could.
That's what I thought.
To avoid someone saying, you know what, it's the Kardashians?
Yeah.
I want another $10 million.
I may have misunderstood. The Victoria's Secret Fashion Show has been bringing lingerie-clad Amazons down the runway for two decades, and one of the faces of the popular, if controversial, show is saying it's more important than ever. Karlie Kloss, who at age 25 has graced Vogue's cover 38 times, said the annual fashion show has its own unique place in the women's empowerment movement.
So it's empowering for women.
Well, she said there's something really powerful about a woman who owns her sexuality and is in charge.
Shut the
f***
up!
She said, a show like this celebrates that and allows all of us to be the best versions of ourselves.
It's the most boring. The TV show, the TV special, is the most boring freaking special.
And I've never watched it.
You'd think, oh, man, this is going to have so many hot women. But they go backstage and it's just boring and annoying. And
really?
Dumb. Yeah.
Around
and I don't
Christmas?
Know. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
What do they do? Like, just interviews?
And here, we're up in 5 minutes, girl. You know, and it's behind the scenes, and then they come out. It's not like you don't see these commercials airing all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. For some reason, I do not find most of the Victoria's Secret models all that attractive, because they almost seem unreal.
They're very modelly.
Yes.
Very modelly, you're right.
Isn't it usually during Camp Out for Hunger that it airs?
All the time.
Okay. Yeah. But I told you guys recently I saw a commercial that ran.
You like, yeah, one of them?
Boy, yo, yoing.
Who was it?
It was several of them. Oh. And I'm sitting there watching, I'm like, dear God. And then it's flashed up Victoria's Secret. I was like, oh.
Target.
Yeah, Target. she said, whether it's wearing heels, makeup, or a beautiful piece of lingerie, if you are in control and empowered by yourself, it's sexy.
Well, it's funny you should say Target, Steve, because honestly, as far as, you know, being a dude is concerned, I don't care. Like, it doesn't have to be Victoria's Secret. I was walking into Target a couple of weeks ago, and the Target here, right on City Line Avenue.
Right.
Right when you walk in the entrance, the women's undies is right there.
Started sniffing.
No, I was behind a woman who, like, she went up and she started looking at these black panties with some flowers on them.
Ew, so you were like the creeper in Target?
Yeah.
Looking at some woman buying underwear?
Kathy, I was just...
Freaking weirdo?
Whatever. I'm talking to you, Steve.
Yeah.
I was just simply walking behind this woman. She went and looked at these panties. I was like, hey. Yeah. And then I kept on walking with a boner.
Holy hell.
Kathy, he was the creep.
We have a guy in an Eagles cap. One lingerie section. He's watching this woman with the black underwear. Please go check it out.
I mean, listen, if I had the time, I probably would have sat and watched her. I didn't have time. So I had
are you serious or you made that story up, right?
I don't know what you're saying.
Did you make it up just to talk or is that a true story?
No, it's a true story.
I don't know what you're saying.
I don't know what you're saying.
She's asking if the whole encounter, seeing the woman with the underwear, was
I was walking was down the aisle, and she was, I don't understand. I don't know why that's so creepy.
Okay.
Okay.
I didn't stalk this woman. I was just
simply
walking.
You were watching her trying on underwear?
I think Case, he walked in.
I followed her into the dressing room.
All right, yeah. So we're going to start off with, I followed her in.
Yeah.
I'll take it this way. I'll recount it for you. You walked in and saw it happening. It's not like you stood there or went behind her and the whole deal. You found it attractive and moved on with your boner.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think what Casey's saying is it doesn't have to be high-end to be hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, the point he's making is,
he was the paper target.
That's just residual to all this. Right. Okay, so anyhow,
follow them home when you see them buying their underpants at whatever Target, Walmart. Follow them home and ask to see if you can watch them try it on.
Doesn't have to be Fredericks of Hollywood. Doesn't have to be these places that are known for sexy.
Right. Okay,
it can be hot even if it's Walmart.
Even if it's Target. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So anyhow,
I think I got it.
I'm not done with this quote. She says, I personally love investing in a power scent or piece of lingerie, but I ensure that it's on my terms. I like to set a positive example.
Oh, my God.
So I would never be a part of something I didn't believe in.
Shut the fuck up!
She adds that beauty comes with power and confidence. Women who have confidence and sensuality, but in a much more mysterious way, is something that I find really attractive. She said, when a woman has confidence and is self-knowing, there is nothing she can't achieve.
And she thought a lot about this, didn't she?
Well, I guess she was asked about it.
Target.com has got some nice lingerie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you want to do some shopping at home today.
But I think the point she's making, and I think it's true, you don't have to be a model to be hot. There are women that do have a certain confidence or a way they carry about themselves.
That's seductive.
That is
sexy.
That's attractive.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Confidence is sexy.
Like when they're shopping for panties at Target.
Yeah, just keep walking. I wouldn't even stop to look.
You didn't stop.
I didn't stop. I was walking by. You can turn it into something that you want to. That's fine.
I didn't turn it into it. You said it.
No.
And by the way, it's Kathy that goes cruising Target.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right.
I'm just going to try this on, please.
All right, so moving on. Call Me By Your Name star Armie Hammer surprised fans by sharing his mugshot on Instagram. He said, it might not be Thursday, but this is the throwback, and it seems worth it.
What was the mugshot for?
Well, I'll get to that. So it said, hashtag God Bless Texas. Responding to a fan's comment, the 31-year-old actor admitted that prison jumpsuits are not known for their fashion or comfort. But it was back in November of 2011 he was arrested in Texas for marijuana possession.
Uh-huh.
The prosecutors later dropped the case because he reportedly had so little on him. So he was just kind of detained and, I guess, arrested for a moment. But they took a mugshot of him, and he decided to post that and have some fun with it. Margot Robbie has long been rumored to be under serious consideration to play Sharon Tate in Quentin Tarantino's upcoming film about her titled Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. According to Deadline, she is in final talks to star alongside Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio in the film.
So is DiCaprio playing Charles Manson?
I don't know. I couldn't see that.
No, he's...
He could pull it off, I would imagine, but
the guy
I'd
who
have
played
a hard time looking at that. Looking at Leo and saying, that's supposed
no.
to be.
No.
So, Steve, it's a guy that I don't know. Is it Rick Dalton? And then Brad Pitt is playing a guy named Cliff Booth.
All right.
I don't know either of those people. And then Zoe Bell is the only other person who is rumored to be attached to this movie.
All right. Okay. There was a two-part miniseries called Helter Skelter based on the Vincent Pugliosi book. And the guy who played Manson was Steve Railsback, who was like a little dude. And it was excellent.
He was fantastic.
He was great. He looked like him so much.
Yeah. Amy Schumer is thrilled to be married to Chris Fisher, but she will not be taking his name now or ever. In an Instagram story, she explained to her father, I am not Amy Fisher. Do you remember who Amy Fisher is? The Long Island Lolita. She said, no, I'm keeping my last name. I'm keeping your last name, saying this to her dad. Amy Fisher famously shot her lover Joey Buttafuoco's wife Mary Jo in 1992, and Schumer grew up on Long Island. So she and Fisher, she's quite aware.
Yeah, she knows the whole, as did I. And while it it caught the country's attention. It was going down. It was extra amplified on Long Island.
I'll bet.
Because somebody knew, everyone knew somebody who was indirectly associated with it.
Yeah. She and Fisher married in February in front of 80 friends and family, including Jennifer Lawrence and Larry David.
Man, that Amy Fisher story has gotten, I mean, it was bad to begin with. So the thing that launched her into the limelight was this this attempted murder. But her life since then is infinitely more bizarre.
Yeah, she does porn.
Porn, yeah. Straight
up pornography.
Oddly, she didn't quite make it.
No. Let's see here. Claire Foy, who won or was nominated for multiple solo awards for a portrayal of a young Queen Elizabeth II in The Crown, got paid less than her co-star, Matt Smith, who played a secondary role as her husband, Prince Philip, and won ensemble nominations. I'm hung up on this shit because I'm watching The Crown now.
She's great.
She is beautiful. She's a great actress, yes. The news comes via Jerusalem, where producers of the British series Andy Harries and creative director Suzanne Mackey of Left Bank appeared Tuesday at a conference on Innovative TV to talk about the much-praised Netflix drama after wrapping season two. The producers were asked whether Foy, who was paid about $40,000 per episode, made as much as Smith. No, they said he made more, but they didn't say how much. But he was Doctor Who. He had a pedigree.
He had a name.
He had a sellable name. He was one of a dozen actors who have played the Doctor on the British sci-fi series, for which he won multiple British nominations and awards.
I really like both of those actors. I love the show. But Matt Smith is always looking down and up. Like, his chin is down and his eyes are up in every scene.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
If that's a thing.
Yeah. Is it? I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. I'll have to...
I find it distracting and annoying.
Well, now that you've noticed it,
yeah, I can't
unsee it. Yeah. Let's see. Flipper Flop star Tariq El Moussaï has snapped up a $2.28 million mansion in Orange County weeks after his divorce from fellow flip or flopper Christina El Moussaï.
Why do I have a problem believing that $2.8 million is a mansion in Orange County?
The four-bedroom home features a two-story high-vaulted great room, a pool with a deck, and a master bathroom with a freestanding tub.
You know how expensive real estate is out there.
Oh, my God, yes.
It's crazy. It's a beautiful home.
And speaking of tubs, leave it to Oprah Winfrey to make her bathtub inspirational. The 64-year-old broke it down.
What? Sorry, he said, speaking of tubs, Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah, the Late Show with James Corden on Thursday, she said, bathing is my hobby. Bath salts, bath oils, anything for the bath that you can get me. She adds that her tub was even custom made to accommodate her perfectly. She said, first they do a model. They create a cast model. And you lie inside of it, and I'm serious about
There's
it.
There's like a body imprint in it?
Custom-made bath?
Yeah.
The coolest bath I've ever seen in my life was in a legitimate mansion in Westbury, Long Island. And so, you know, Preston, you wanted the bedroom where the entire floor was the bed?
Yes.
When you walked into the bath, the steps came in from four different doors around the room into the bath.
That's awesome. That's a small pool.
A small pool.
You kind of need that, though. Like, I feel like baths are a little...
cramped?
They can be, like, a little dangerous getting out. You need some sort of steps.
Oh, it's crazy.
All right, I have two more stories for you. Joy Mangano, mop inventor and QVC Queen Bee. You know her from that movie, Joy.
Yes.
Yeah. Is going to see her life turn into a Broadway musical. Being the subject of a Broadway musical, she said, is more than a dream come true for me. I'm a local Long Island girl. She said in a statement, I used to dream of coming into town to see a Broadway musical, much less to be the subject of one. And the show will be based on the 2015 Joy biopic starring Jennifer Lawrence.
The movie was good. It wasn't great.
Will be led by Broadway mega producer Ken Davenport. One thing about that movie, though, it shows you what you've got to go through in order to get a product that invented, marketed, and turns. It was brutal, all the stuff she went through. You know, just some form of industrial espionage and family members turning against you. It was it's hard work.
I wonder if it's gotten easier because of shows like Shark Tank and getting people more familiar with the process involved in getting something to market.
Maybe. And then one last thing, CNBC is bringing back Deal or No Deal with original host Howie Mandel. The reboot will feature the high-energy format with new twists. And this is according to Chairman Mark Hoffman. He said, our primetime programs, with their focus on business and money, strive to be both entertaining and instructive. Shows like The Profit and Shark Tank are built around high stakes and high rewards. Those same elements live at the heart of Deal or No Deal, which is why we believe that to be a perfect fit.
I'll tell you what, if you want to talk about the most annoying contestants ever, I think Deal or No Deal had the absolute most grating, annoying contestants I've ever seen on a game show.
Today's announcement confirms our deep commitment to primetime, strengthening our lineup by adding one of the most successful game shows of all time, along with a popular original host, Howie Mandel.
And you remember Meghan Markle is one of the suitcase models.
Yeah, they're looking roll it out in the fourth quarter of this year.
So, huh.
CNBC. There you go. All right, let's get to clips, if you will. Fox's X-Files reboot features Scully and Mulder rekindling their age-old romance, with the story focused more on their child, William. In this clip, Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny discuss working on the series for 11 seasons.
Going into it, if I'd thought that we were going to be in our 50s and still playing these characters, I probably would have jumped off of something.
I just wanted to pay the rent.
Yeah, that was our initial intention, was to be able to get off the couch.
I don't think I want to see it.
God, she sounds like she's in her
really
80s.
Old. I'm just going to say the same thing.
The truth is out there. I just can't get out there because, you know, my hip.
New episodes of The X-Files airs tonight at 8 p.m. on Fox. Let's do the next one. The CW series Riverdale follows Archie and his friends exploring the secrets of the fictional small town. This season, the group is seen taking on a darker side, exploring with drugs and frequent partying.
Ooh-hoo.
In this clip, Cole Sprouse talks about the show's tone.
The sort of crown jewel of the show, especially in my opinion for season one, was the cinematography. And it was this kind of neo-noir set in this teen drama. And now that people know the tone of the show, it's allowed our creative team to really see that expression.
Yeah!
Riverdale airs with a new episode tonight on CW at 8 p.m.
I'm a fan.
I got into it a little bit, and then I kind of drifted away.
Yeah, you're missing out.
Gotta come back.
Yeah.
All right,
we'll have parties. We'll have some Pinot. We'll do each other's hair, and we'll watch the show.
Okay.
And that is what I have for you in the entertainment report this morning. Casey is handing me something. That means I got something to give away. We have this screening of Pacific Rim on Tuesday. It'll be at the IMAX UA King of Prussia at 7:30. You need to be there by 7. We'll take 5 callers, and we'll add you to our list of winners who will be there. 215-263-WMMR. Go ahead and give us a call right now. Movies on Us, gang. We'll take a break. I'll be back in just a little bit. We got a few things coming up you need to be aware of. I'll tell you about it when we return.
Hi, I'm Alexa.
Amazon's voice-activated personal assistant, Alexa, will take you right to MMR's brand new skill. It's the easiest way to open the station live stream and our audio on demand. Simply say, Alexa, open MMR.
We are headed to spring training tomorrow. We are flying out and we're headed down broadcasting live for the Phil spring training in Clearwater, Florida. And we have a sponsor. We are sponsored by Winter Airport Parking. Visit them online at winterairportparking.net. The Phil's playing the Blue Jays at 105. If you're in that area, if you're going down for games or you live in the area and listen to us, stop by Spectrum Field. The gates open at 10:35. We'll be at Frenchie's Tiki Pavilion. If you got tickets to the game, pop up and say hello. We'll hang out for a couple hours before the game and meet you in person, which would be nice. And weather's going to be comfy as well. We're looking at like 70 degrees, somewhere in that range. So it's going to be really solid. Hey, a lot of moves yesterday. Kathy had mentioned it in sports yesterday with the Eagles. Trey Burton, Bo Allen, Brent Celek. Although Bo Allen not officially.
Yeah, the team hasn't said anything. Bo posted something on his Instagram account, which was saying that I'm leaving and it was great being here in Philadelphia, but is not official yet.
Yeah. The team made moves that suggested.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, and
well, he knows it.
He knows it. They know it. Everybody knows it. It's just not officially official.
It's such a weird thing because, I mean, still, even till we have hours until free agency becomes, like, open, right?
Right.
So, but all these moves have been made before. Tampering, and I get so confused by it all. But
is
like,
it because the news gets leaked to the press?
And I think so. Yeah, I think so.
It's got to be it. Because
to sort of incrementally buffer it?
Well, I don't know what the no tampering thing means when people are already, quote-unquote, tampering, when Richard Sherman has already announced that he's going to sign with the 49ers, and you're not allowed to tamper until Monday. I get confused by it all, but like, yeah, the Bo Allen thing, I think it was all a foregone conclusion that that he was going to go get his money somewhere. Like the Eagles didn't have the money to pay him,
and he's now worth the money,
and he's worth the money.
Yeah.
And so, you know, these guys, are their time is limited. Although when you look at somebody like Brent Celek, who's been in the league for what, 11 years, that's a long time for an NFL player, especially an NFL player that's not like a kicker.
So what's for him now? What
I don't know, man.
You think he'll retire?
Didn't he say, like right around the Super Bowl win, that he didn't want to?
Yeah, I guess we would have heard that he was going to retire by now. That would have been the announcement. So I don't know.
But to the point that that was made earlier is that, again, you know, and Preston, you pointed out, it is part of the deal. It's what happens all the time. But when your team wins the Super Bowl and now they're forever etched in history, you want that collective to stay around. And Kathy, you're saying, you know, but they did it with this team. Why not try it again?
And listen, I know that there's other things that I'm not paying attention to, but that's all I'm looking at. Like, why change anything?
Right. Yeah. Don't fix what's not broken, but it's just not the way it works.
Well, just selfishly speaking, you know, we became friendly with Brent Celek and Bo Allen. And, you know, like,
all of our friends always leave.
But I'm glad that these guys end up, like, marrying local women, you know, who end up keeping them here in Philadelphia.
Around.
Yeah, like Jason Kelsey's... His
thank
fiance,
God for the women. Yeah.
Right. His fiance is from this area. She just got a job in this area. Connor Barwin, you know, came back after living in L.A. for a hot minute.
Oh, yeah. So well, who else is who's still here?
Todd Herman's is still here.
Yeah.
John Runyon is still here.
Is Jimmy Rollins back?
Jimmy Rollins, I have no idea.
Well, he was playing for some
Papali
West Coast teams, but he married a Philly person, and he was down at Philly spring training last week, so I don't know if he has a residence in town or not.
I know Shane Victorino, his wife was from here. They don't live here anymore, but wasn't she also from here?
Yeah.
Yes. They had a house like over towards Glen Mills or something like that. And Danny Briere.
Yeah, he's stuck around.
He's stuck around.
See, that's cool. We want to be the place they go to when they're not playing or when they retire.
Well, I think, you know, Briere stuck around more so for his kids than anything else. Like, his kids became, you know, entrenched in this area and the schools and all that sort of stuff. And,
I'm sure they listened to us, and that was a big deciding factor.
They didn't want to leave the area
rather than not listen to us.
But if you can afford it, and a lot of these professional athletes can afford to, you know, stay somewhere, and you're going to be able to afford it for your children, why would you not do that?
You know what? It's for Brent. It's interesting because, you know, there are some athletes that get the privilege of being able to retire. You know, this is my last year. I'm hanging it up. And then others are eventually they are kind of slowly drummed out, and then maybe try to stick around and get one more season you know. Mm-hmm.
And we just mentioned too, Shane Victorino and Jimmy Rollins. They just weren't picked up by teams, but they didn't retire. You know, they didn't say I'm done. I'm hanging them up. They just sort of
forced into retirement.
And it kind of faded away.
Competent, it's but, you know, listen, with all the potential wealth and adulation, that's a downside about how will your career end?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you're always sort of playing the odds. Will it be a career-ending injury? Or will you be able to go out on your own terms?
Mm-hmm. I really go back and forth on how I feel about the circumstances for professional athletes, because they get paid staggering amounts of money, but it's for a short period of time, and they're people. You know, so they're not robots. They're not perfect. They make mistakes. They make mistakes in the public eye. And in Philadelphia, probably more under a magnoscope or magnifying glass than in any other town or most other towns. And so they get criticized for that. And I get the criticism. I understand all of it. But then we develop friendships with these people, too. So you look at them as not just athletes and Super Bowl winning athletes, in the case of Bo Allen and Brent Celek and Jason Kelsey.
You brought up a scenario, though, that would help mitigate both those issues. Robot football.
Robot football.
You can't become attached to a machine, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. It's hard to feel bad for people who make so much money and who are so popular, and yet they're human. So
yes.
Sometimes I do.
We also have the impression that every football player is insanely wealthy, and or any athlete. That's certainly not the case. So I always feel bad for the lower-end guys who stick around and play and are the grunts, and a lot of times are, you know, maybe the guys that are on the offensive line or something like that don't get paid the superstar money that the running backs and the receivers do.
Well, you have
to. Quarterbacks, but... And they have to and they get the piss beat out of them.
Yeah.
That if your eye isn't on another endeavor, you could be in trouble in a few years.
You're talking about the guy who doesn't quite get the sport, wears his cup on the back.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, in the NFL, you generally have to stay in the league long enough to actually get that payday, right? You know, so you have to make it through your rookie contract in order to get a decent bump in salary. You know, the NBA, you're a millionaire right off the bat. I mean, the second you get drafted, you know, your first or second round, like you're definitely making some coin. Baseball, those are the guys that when you're playing in the minor leagues and stuff like that, you're not making all that much.
What is the most lucrative sport right now?
I would imagine basketball.
Basketball, right?
Yeah, it depends on what you guaranteed. Say. Yeah, maybe overall. The highest paid athletes are usually baseball players.
Well,
right?
What about golf? Return to effort.
Oh, man. Yeah.
In other words, physical expenditure.
Yeah.
Duration of career. What is the most lucrative sport to participate in?
That's a good question.
That is a good question.
I mean, it's team sports versus individual sports.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Like golf and tennis and things like that. You can make a whole lot of money if you're the best in your field because you're winning all the time. And endorsement deals go through the roof. So I'm not really sure.
Yeah, so that's what I thought. I thought the NBA was the most because if you think about it, their rosters are the smallest.
That's all true. Right.
So we're looking at this stat. And it says here, on average, the NBA pays the most at $4.9 million. That's average. Baseball comes in second at $3.8 million. Is this a year?
Yeah.
A week.
a year per player.
Yeah. NHL is third at $2.5 million, and the NFL is fourth at $2
million. Yeah.
Wow.
But you got, all right, so you have these players, like, making $30 million a year, and that offsets the guy making $500,000
a year. And therein lies the case with this situation is because they $9 million over the salary cap? The Eagles?
Do you hear just what I just said? $500,000, as if that's not a lot of money to make in 1 year.
Yeah.
Well, you're right, in context, it's not.
Yeah. But if you stop making any money except for a pension, at, say, age 30, what do you do for the rest of your life?
I think they miss an opportunity, too, and it would encourage the players if they were allowed to put out tip jars occasionally.
Oh, okay.
Do you like my playing?
Right.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea.
Do you like
idea.
What I'm doing?
Yeah. I don't know. It's, there's a lot of money out there, but not everybody gets all that money, and it's a short amount of time. So,
anyway,
Bo's going to go on to somewhere else. Trey Burton, what's the story of him? You know, I don't follow these.
He's going to sign with the Bears, and he's going to make around, $8 million a year? 4-year, $32 million?
Okay.
Something like that.
All right.
And again, go get your money. Go get your money. I was watching NFL Network. You know, I actually have been watching it for the last few days, and so last night they were having, the worst free agent signings. Well, worst for the actual football but best for the actual free agent. So, you know, somebody like Amon Green, who was making, $20 million a year at the end of his career. It was a terrible. He ended up, what it worked out to, he made $41,000 for every yard he gained.
Oh my God.
That's how bad the contract was for the Texans, but it was great for him.
And then, so then when I say things like, I feel bad for these people, and then they're making $41,000 per yard, mm-hmm. I feel less bad for them.
I've seen some follow-up stories to athletes and where they've ended up, like Bo Jackson, who had, in his day, was just a massive superstar.
Yeah.
He sells barbecue now.
Yeah. I mean,
it's sometimes they just go into something. Look,
guys like
average.
John Elway made more money selling cars than he ever did as a football player.
Oh, really? Absolutely.
Yeah. Tim Kerr, who was a Flyer in the 80s and scored a lot of goals for the team, makes more money selling real estate than he ever did as a professional athlete. So some of these guys have these second careers where they make a lot more money.
Now, I don't know, and I've heard this many times. I don't know if it's necessarily true, but have you heard this about Rob Gronkowski? That he still, to this day, has not spent any of his NFL money.
Wow.
All of the money he's been living off of has been like endorsements.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
yes.
Smart.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but that's honestly, you look to parlay that, and if you can do that and just bank all your actual salary, holy crap.
Yeah,
that's nuts.
I mean, he's clearly the guy has, he could be a Shakespearean actor, no problem. Gronk in Macbeth.
Uh-huh.
Gronk Beth.
Gronk Beth. I like it. But nonetheless, specifically for Brent, it's, it's sad news because he's such a great guy. We've known him for years and he's come out to a bunch of our events. And
yes.
He's just the nicest guy.
It sucks when with anything, in any occupation or any friendship. We change on that level with friends. F's you
I'm
up.
Glad he won the Super Bowl with
this thank
team.
God.
And I'll miss Bo because Bo's just a fun guy.
He's a great guy.
He's funny and love having him by here as a guest all the time.
And he likes being here. You know, he likes the radio side of things. And Brent got a really nice standing ovation at the Sixers game last night. He was sitting courtside.
It was wonderful.
Cool. And our buddy Matt announced him and he got a really great round of applause.
And you said Trey Burton was throwing out the first pitch at the Phils game yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
Here's the deal. And maybe this is actually what the plan is, and we're not seeing the bigger picture here. You send these guys out to sabotage the teams they're going to play for.
You're worth more
to us if you are a mole in there.
Right.
You know, I'm just saying it's a possibility.
Yeah, I've always said to these guys that that go on and do stuff for other teams, just sign with anybody but the Cowboys.
Exactly.
Just, you know, because I want to be able to I want to be able to root for you because I like you as a human being and as a player. But if you go play for those bums, I can't. I can't. In fact, I'll probably root for your injury.
Oh, wow.
And we don't want
Don't make me that person.
That yeah. All right. On another story, another big one that's surfacing, Stephen Hawking passed away.
Just before he signed with Chicago.
He was 76 today.
Chicago! Yeah. Chicago!
We've been talking a couple times recently, Preston, about the duration of his life in light of the ALS.
Yes.
And what an anomaly he was.
Yep.
And I still have not heard anybody suggest why he lived for that long with a disease that usually takes you out much earlier.
I have. I went to see a neurologist because I thought I had the symptoms of ALS a couple of years ago.
It was right.
Very, very scary. I have what's called, I've even forgot the name of it, benign fasciculations. Anyhow, so I asked the neurologist. I went to Johns Hopkins. And he had explained it to me in a certain way. There are variations of the disease.
Right.
Okay, there's a few different versions that affect the upper neurons and the lower neurons and so on and so forth. And your brain and your spinal cord and your nervous system and so on. There's also the way he explained to me is there is a juvenile version of this disease that progresses. It's a longer progression.
Okay.
Normally when people are diagnosed with this, and a lot of times it's people later in life, in their 30s and their 40s and so on. And after within 5 years is kind of standard life expectancy. A lot of people can die.
That's why it's so horrific.
Now, the way it was explained to me is that he may have had the juvenile version of this that did not manifest itself until he was into his 20s.
So he was 21 when he was diagnosed,
yes,
right?
And it is this long progressing version of ALS, and he's a bit of an anomaly. It's rare. It's not completely unheard of. But part of it has to do with his biological makeup and maybe the treatment he had as well. But that's the theory, is that he had this juvenile version of ALS, but it didn't manifest till later in life, and therefore it progressed slower.
So, you know, we've all been fascinated with him on many different levels, and the theory of everything sort of shows, you know, the progression over time. But the fact that he had pneumonia,
yeah,
the way he did have it, which should have killed him, yeah, and he survived that.
Yeah, he was a very resilient guy. And his mind, some people don't realize as well, some versions of ALS can affect your mind as well.
Yes.
And any form of dementia can be a part of that. Obviously, his mind was as sharp as it had ever been throughout his entire life. So
amazing.
But his brief history of time. Case, did you... You have that book, right? Did you read it?
Oh, I tried.
Yeah.
I listened to it on tape.
Yeah.
It was tape at the time. No, or whatever.
Audiobook.
Yeah. And it's incredibly dumbed down, and I was still too dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
hard to grasp.
The reading was not dumbed down enough for me. Now, I got another book by Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson that is, you know, essentially the same thing, and it's supposed to be for everyday Joes like me.
Yeah.
And again, I was, you know, like first chapter, I'm like, oh, man. Because it's a lot of information to retain. Like
a lot of science.
Well, no, you can define for me in the first chapter what a quark is.
Yeah.
Or any of these terms. It's tough for me to remember that when it comes up
back
a little bit later on.
Well, especially when you think a quark is when you fart in the bathtub.
quark. Wait, what is
it's a subatomic particle.
Okay, no. I'm one. This is how stupid I am.
Okay.
A fart in a bathtub has to have a name, right?
Oh, Jesus.
And here we go. You thought he was going to go with the science.
We have taken Stephen Hawking to farts.
Look that up for me real quick, because I'll remember that.
Is a birdiffle.
Hawking had a name for a fart in a bathtub, a birdiffle?
When you fart in the tub, it's a birdiffle.
That guy knows everything.
He does.
Everything.
You know, actually, as we're gathering up some of the sound clips... of the we're going to play here. Yeah. The actual clip from the movie Theory of Time with Eddie
Redmayne. Theory of Everything.
Yeah. Theory of Everything. He sort of gives his take on the universe and everything.
All right, here we go.
If Einstein is right, or if general relativity is correct, then yes. Universe is expanding, yes?
Yes.
Okay, so if you reverse time, then the universe is getting smaller.
All right.
So what if I reverse the process all the way back to see what happened at the beginning of time itself?
The beginning of time itself?
Yes. So the universe getting smaller and smaller.
Are they banging while they're talking about this?
They're playing a highlight.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I think they're walking. Yeah. Okay. You know, he had trouble walking.
Right.
Getting denser and denser, hotter and hotter.
You mean wind back the clock?
Exactly, wind back the clock.
And it seems like such a simple concept.
Right. Well, if this is this, then this stands to reason.
Yeah, yeah.
So that it's the beginning of everything.
Then maybe it's at some point it
could have been just a pinpoint in size that exploded into the universe, everything.
By the way, Casey, you mentioned Neil deGrasse Tyson. He had tweeted out, his passing has left an intellectual vacuum in his wake. And he spelled vacuum correctly.
Yeah.
But it's not empty. Think of it as a kind of vacuum energy permeating the fabric of space-time that defies measure.
I ask you to remember him fondly. there's actually, I think we do have a clip of Neil deGrasse Tyson talking about how he was able to achieve what he was able to achieve.
All right, here we go.
He's done TV shows. He's written multiple books with ALS or whatever version he has that he can still live as long as he does. But obviously he's a quadriplegic. Right now he guides his communication through his eyes because he can still control what his eyes look at. There's a screen in front of him. And so it's just stunning that first he has the stamina for all that he creates and produces, but also he made major discoveries related to black holes. He basically brought black holes into a next generation of understanding. In fact, there's a kind of energy that emanates from a black hole that bears his name. It's called Hawking radiation.
Wow. Wow. And by the way, somebody had texted in that a fart in a tub is called a gorp.
A gorp.
Okay. And somebody
like Bridiffle better.
Bridiffle.
Sounds more British.
But somebody who farts in a bathtub is called a fonzanoon.
A fonzanoon.
Yes.
Wait a minute. I had someone who had said, yeah, a fonzanoon is a guy that farts in the bathtub and bites the bubble.
it's extraordinary if you stop and think about it. I said, someone who farts in a bathtub and then bites the bubble is called a fonzanoon.
Somebody texts in and says, you guys really need to start offering an official eulogy service.
Hey,
we'll keep it light.
Yeah.
It won't be sad.
And there'll be laughter and tears together the way it should be.
All right. We have clips
of... See, Preston,
yes.
A quark is not just a subatomic particle. It's any number of subatomic particles carrying a fractional electric charge, postulated as building blocks of hadrons. That's why it's hard to remember.
I know.
I mean, you could simplify it as saying subatomic particles. But I don't know.
I've never heard of a hadron before, so I don't know. All right, here's a clip of Hawking discussing imaginary time.
Imaginary time. People think it's something you have in dreams or when you're up against a deadline. But it's a well-defined concept. Imaginary time is like another direction in space. It's the one bit of my work science fiction writers haven't used because they don't understand it.
Wow. Imaginary time, at least if I get what he was saying, is as real and valid as time is itself.
It's just
that, and
how these guys wrap their minds around these concepts, man. It's unbelievable.
A lot of times I would what he was able to do and theorize, I would have trouble just finding the college he was at.
Yeah.
Cambridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, where is it again?
Mm-hmm. He followed up A Brief History of Time in 2001 with the more accessible sequel called The Universe in a Nutshell, updating readers on concepts like supergravity, naked singularities, and the possibility of an 11-dimensional universe.
And he did a very successful series of books called Sniglets, Preston.
Ah, no, that was Rich Hall.
Oh, Rich Hall, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, I had the Sniglets game, believe it or not.
And I do believe it.
Yeah, and there was a word in there called subatomic tosticles.
Okay, and
yes.
what are those?
I have no idea what that means. I just remember playing it in college, and somebody had a a really funny definition for that, you know, made up definition, and I laughed really hard, and that's the only reason I remember the name subatomic tosticles.
Okay. Okay. All right. Very good.
Subatomic tosticles.
He
was a pop culture entity too. He loved one of our favorite shows, Preston, Star Trek The Next Generation,
which he was on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they actually physically had him depicted too. He was there in the holodeck.
Yeah, he was playing chess with Picard.
Yeah. So he was on Simpsons. He was on Big Bang Theory a number of times. We do have a clip of him on The Simpsons discussing a theory with Homer.
All right.
Your theory of a donut-shaped universe is intriguing, Homer. I may have to steal it.
Wow, I can't believe someone I never heard of is hanging out with a guy like me.
All right, it's closing time. Who's paying the tab?
I am.
I didn't say that.
Yes, I did. So.
Oh, man.
He was on more than once, right?
He was on a couple times. He was on the Big Bang Theory a number of times. And he loved it. He was a fan of... all that stuff. One of the coolest things was, and we did a bit about it. It's a Daily Rush video, though. When David Blaine went over and did magic for him, you could tell he was jazzed, because here's a guy who works by, you know, numbers and accuracy, and this has got to be in a theory. And he's being bamboozled, which he knows, by this guy, you know, who's distracting and deflecting, and he loved it.
And he can't figure it out.
He can't figure it out.
He's one of the smartest men in the world. He can't figure it out.
I mean, all of this stuff is maddening, and so you can understand why and how some of these scientists, mathematicians end up kind of going crazy.
Well, it's interesting, because if you watch the series on Albert Einstein that was on recently, and I've been kind of doing some reading on him, he was in therapy.
Yeah.
He was in therapy because it was too... Your mind is so, you know, full of, you know, of what's going on. And then you start to realize things about the nature of existence. And, you know, his therapist figured prominently in his life.
Because, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it, Press. You had mentioned he had a theory about 11 dimensions or something like that. My mind can't even process anything past 3.
Yeah, it's I've tried to comprehend dimensions, and I've seen videos that have explained it, and you kind of start to get it, but then when they go on to multiple dimensions, it gets very, very, very hard to perceive.
Want to have your mind blown? Baskin Robbins has 32 flavors. 32. I mean, what?
So it's Einstein's birthday today.
It is.
It's Pi Day today.
Wow. Yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
And it's and Hawking died.
That is a confluence of brain-related events.
Did he die today or yesterday?
Let's just say today.
Okay.
I mean, because it probably was today.
Maybe it was
in
a long,
England.
Painful death.
Well, it was today in England.
Dude.
You know, over 2 days.
Yeah, right.
That would help our bit out.
That's terrible.
And time is relative, guys.
You know what? Yes, it is. Of course it is. In the movie, in The Theory of Everything, there's a scene where... you know, it's towards the end, and his you know, disease is fully advanced, and he's completely incapacitated. But he's giving a lecture in front of a group of people, and a girl drops a pen on the ground, and he stands up and walks over and picks it up, and it's just, God, it's such a shocking moment. To see that it's what he in his mind
was doing.
It's so easy for everyone to go and do something like that, and it's
making noise, you bitch.
It's an incredible moment in the movie. Kathy, have you ever seen it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a pretty amazing movie.
And honestly, Eddie Redmayne's performance was effing phenomenal. Even when you stop and think about it, there's so much of that movie where it's just people reacting to him. You know, you know, he's obviously incapacitated, but it was very cool.
I remember seeing, Steve, a special on him back in the 1970s, and it was, I forgot what it was on, but it was about science, and at that point, he could still speak.
Yes.
But he sounded like this. And you couldn't understand a single thing he was saying, but he's in front of a class saying stuff like that, and all of a sudden, everybody starts laughing, because they
got used to understanding
him. They could clearly understand what he was saying, and they were all just around him and just fascinated to be around this man. Wow.
What he said was, a horse walks into a bar, and the bartender asks, why the long face?
Well, I would have laughed, too. Are you kidding me? All right. Anyway, Stephen Hawking, 76 years old, brilliant man. And, you know, the thing about people like him is his theories, his work, and all the stuff is gonna. It's going to be used for decades
forever.
To come.
Yeah.
All right, we need to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. We're going to go live on Fox Good Day this morning. We have a bizarre file coming up as well. And if you guess on the show, I'll tell you about those in a little bit. We'll be right back.
MMR's 50th birthday concert series presents MMRBQ 2018. Our big all-day rock festival just got bigger. Starring Alice in Chains. Stone Temple Pilots. Just added Korn's Jonathan Davis. And station favorites, The Record Company. Also performing Ghost. Dorothy. Radke. And Jackson's local shots opener in the presence of wolves. One day, eight bands. The best deal in rock. Starting at just $35. On sale now. Ticketmaster.com. It's MMRBQ 2018. Saturday, May 19th, BB&T Pavilion. Join us.
93.3 WMMR. It's Everything That Rocks. Guns N' Roses. All right, we're going around on Fox. Good day. Here we go.
We're coming out.
Hey.
We're here.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Hi. So, Preston, is it you that's in a high school play? What?
No. So, my daughter's elementary school, actually, all my kids went to Oak Ridge Elementary School in Harleysville, and they have this thing called the Lip Sync Extravaganza every year. And so the kids all do these lip sync acts, and there's also a teacher act, and there's a parent act as well.
Oh, my God.
So I get involved in the parent act, and it's a lot of fun.
We're looking at your moves now.
Oh, are you? Yeah. I've never seen this.
I can't see it. Which one of you guys show? What are we doing?
Well, you're kind of almost moonwalking and flying.
Okay, moonwalking and flying. Am I
wearing it from here?
Lots of arm movement back and forth.
Okay. I don't know. I'd have to see it to tell you exactly what song that was.
Well, we apologize.
It's like we did a medley of songs, and so there's different acts that we come out and do. It's over the course of like 5 minutes. So
can we just get to this? We promised our viewers there was going to be some kind of big deal here.
Yes. Yeah. Let's get to it. What is it? There's a camera crew that just came. Yay! Yay! Jennifer Frederick is in our studio.
First of all, can we please explain? We saw you in the lobby.
All right, come over here. Talk on this mic.
Talk on that mic. We saw Casey in the lobby. First of all, hi, everyone.
Hey, Jennifer.
It's me, Alisa Federico from Styling Jane, and Angela Profeto from Gravity in Plymouth Meeting. Preston's like, we know the people that are here.
Yeah, we do love these people. Yes, of course.
Here's what's going on. First of all, we're trying to surprise Casey because we love him.
Mm-hmm. Look how excited he is.
We ran into him in the lobby. Okay?
Of course.
All three of us, we could never be undercover cops, first of all. And I'm like, we're really here looking for Matt Cord. And he's yelling, Matt Cord's on vacation. Matt Cord's on vacation.
And Angela is here. And Angela did my hair. And she was like, not happy to see me. And it didn't even dawn on me until right now. I'm like, normally she'd be like, oh, hey, and she was like, oh, hey.
Okay, here's what's happening.
Okay.
You guys are going on a road trip.
Yeah. Yes.
And there are men everywhere that need a little spring spruce up. Come on, it's true.
I've already packed. I got my nicest sweatpants.
We're going to repack. We're repacking.
I mean, these ones are my favorite. They have a hole in them right here.
Oh, yes, there we go.
He's showing us with his hand, which is nice.
So, Casey, we're thinking spring training, spring spruce up, spring cleaning, spring wardrobe. It's just a whole little makeover thing.
And you're going to be, look, there's lots of dads out there. There's all kinds of dads and men, handsome, sexy, David Beckham looking men.
Like me.
Exactly.
Okay.
That are going to Clearwater, and they got to look their best for their family, right?
And they want to look attractive for all the other men that are going to be there.
Men dress for men.
But also, tell him what you're doing. Casey, they're not changing you. They're not going to put you in something.
It's going to be the best Casey we've ever seen.
And listen, it just needs to be comfortable.
Yes.
All right, that's why, Alisa.
The most important thing to me, I don't care what I look like as long as I'm comfortable.
And you're okay with glitter and tight pants.
I'm not fine with tight pants. No.
Alisa has some rules. A couple, come on in here. Right. She's going to say, maybe you need to wear stuff that
actually fits you.
Actually fits
you. Get on right on the mic.
This does fit me. Okay. This does fit. Look at this. This looks so great. like my pants that I'm wearing, they're like, I don't know, they're tapered at the bottom.
They're tapered.
They're really good.
In the crotch. So
I know, but they're my favorites.
Listen, I know you, and I know comfort is key, mm-hmm. and you can be comfortable and still look sharp. That's right. We're not getting a new Casey, just an updated.
Do you guys all know about this? Casey. Because a little warning, don't you guys could have told me to take a shower later.
That's great. So
I mean, I did take a shower last night.
Yes, you are.
No, hours.
I have to say.
Yeah.
Right. We love you. That's why we're here.
Or so, and then
because
we'll try to show the
there's a lot of people that we can be torturing. We're not doing it to anyone.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so Mike and Chanel have
disconnected.
They've disconnected.
And we're on.
Chanel, I'm sorry. Shut up. There's a lot of excitement here. Mike and Alex. I'm sorry. We worked with Chanel for years. I still love her to death. Anyway. So yeah, they've pulled away from the broadcast. Now we're just right. on radio. So,
I'm sweating and she's going to put a blanket on.
We're going to wrap you in love and take you away.
Okay.
All right. So you're going to get an actual full blown makeover as you sit there and do the show.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
This is so like people don't have to see all the stuff we don't want them to see.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good to me.
All right. So what are we starting with? What are we doing? First, do we have a plan of attack or is it going to be like,
Case, by the way, we're kind of clueless on this.
We have no idea.
I know, and listen. The reason we didn't tell you is because our friends at Fox wanted to keep this completely on the QT.
This is like a serious situation here. By the way, we did it. We helped out one of our photographers, Jared Ball. You've seen him. You guys look similar. He has adopted some of the things that we shared with him, and he too was reluctant, to say the least.
So he adopted a hatred of fashion and makeovers.
Do you see? There's T-shirts on this rack.
Really quick, okay. To all the guys listening out there, we're not trying to make you metro. You don't have to be metro. You can still wear comfy shorts. Like, I'm going to give you a couple key pointers. You know, I always say this to you, like, guys, you're not in college anymore. Ditch the meshies. Ditch the cargo shorts. You know what I mean? Like, there's still comfy cotton versions that look
all Casey's
she wants to die.
No, that's all. I'm going to keep you comfortable. I know all your little, little nuances. I promise I'm going to embrace Casey and just make you this even cuter, snugglier version.
Because it's what you do, right? You don't want to tamp down on the person. You want to accentuate. You're going to be the best Casey you can be.
So what I just heard was, it was really, really nice, is ditch everything that you love in life and do everything that I love in life.
Trust me, I don't necessarily love that. Like, I mean, if you gave me free reign, I might, you know, who knows what I'm going to do.
I'm not going to. Listen, let's do it.
Let's go for it.
Let's try it. As long as it's comfortable, let's try it.
What's up first?
Yay.
All right. You're a hero.
I mean, I literally was thinking about how I could invent a sweatsuit that looked like a three-piece suit because I got to go to a couple of weddings this year, right?
Do you have that by any chance?
Did you see if something like that exists?
No.
It might.
But, I mean, it has to, like, look legit. You know what I mean? It can't look like a sweatsuit, but...
Yeah. If Cam Newton gotta feel like one.
Does he?
Yeah, I've seen it. All right, here's the other thing. Honestly, you know, the Eagles... They won the Super Bowl.
Yes, we know that.
Then we had the parade. Did.
Yeah.
Spring training's happening. We got some new guys, you know, on the... We have no content, okay? So really, we're just trying to fill our time.
Okay.
Yeah, he's filling
it. All right. Thank you.
I love your honesty.
Not quite yet.
You're in the lull.
Like, we've made over every girl in town. You don't need a makeover, but we're going to basically use you for TV. Is that correct?
Okay, that sounds good to me. Right.
I love it.
You maybe get some cool stuff.
All right. Well, I need to come back because I do have a live read for Metro PCS after the Bizarre Fox.
All right.
And you don't have any sponsors for B-Fox.
Very Metro. Right. Yeah. No sponsors for B-Fox.
Right.
Casey has been taken off into another room. Do you know where they went? They go into the...
I think he's running out to his car to go home.
Oh my God, he's not happy with it.
Dude, his face. I swore after he ran into them in the lobby, he would have known his face. He was definitely shocked.
Like yesterday, I was like, geez, maybe we should give him some sort of indication,
right?
Something at least, because if he's not showered, he's going to be really embarrassed. Mm-hmm. And so the word was, no, we really want it to be a secret. I've been working for Casey for a long time. I think maybe he's going to want at least a little indicator.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were right. We should have tipped him off a little bit.
He did not look happy.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll see how this goes. They're going to give him a little makeover.
If it ends up being an Emmy-winning TV episode, then we'll be happy about that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So, all right, let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, let's get right into it. I do have some stories to share with you this morning, and this is messed up. You may have seen the headlines for this or seen the story, But, of course, you know, more and more passengers are traveling with their pets. And abuse of the emotional support animal protections has prompted airlines such as United to restrict which types of animals can be carried on board. And I understand that. However, United cabin crew on a flight Monday night went too far. According to a passenger, a United flight 1284 from Houston to LaGuardia, a passenger boarded a flight with a TSA-compliant pet carrier with a small dog inside. For unknown reasons, the flight attendant insisted that the passenger stow the carrier with the dog inside in an overhead bin for the duration of the flight. The passengers reported hearing barking for part of the flight. By the end of the trip, horrified passengers found the dog had died the flight.
Can you effing believe that? So the stewardess or the flight attendant is saying she had no idea there was a dog in the bag. Do you believe that?
I didn't even hear that report.
How would you not be aware there was a dog in that bag?
I would think that even if you weren't, you could be not aware, because some of those just looks like we have one.
Wouldn't the person say there's a dog in the bag?
So hopefully the passenger said, I have a dog in here. A spokesperson for United said this was a tragic accident and should never have occurred, as pets should never be placed in the overhead bin. We assume full responsibility for this tragedy and express our deepest condolences to the family and are committed to supporting them. We're thoroughly investigating what occurred to prevent this from ever happening again. United's website policy on pets in cabin states that a pet traveling in a cabin must be carried in an approved hard-sided or soft-sided kennel. The kennel must fit completely under the seat in front of the customer and remain there at all times. A customer traveling with an in-cabin pet cannot be seated in the bulkhead or an emergency exit rail. So that's their stance on pets. But while the bin, so allegedly they had her put the dog up in the bin. The bin is pressurized. There's no air circulation in the bins, as there's no expectation for a living animal to be placed inside. While bins certainly aren't airtight, the lack of air may have played a part in the loss of the pet. I know, it's insane.
Maybe the animal's just scared crapless.
Yeah, or just you can suffocate if there's not, you know, free-flowing air and there's more carbon dioxide going out than there is oxygen. So you can bet your ass there'll be a hell of a lawsuit on this one.
And the general fallout is going to be insane.
Absolutely. Falls are a common problem among older adults, but for one 84-year-old man in Northern Ireland, a brain scan revealed a highly uncommon cause for his falls. A part of his brain appeared to be missing. The stunning scan revealed a large black space behind his forehead where the front of his brain should have been.
He was just born without it, or it disappeared?
Well, it's complicated. His physician, Dr. Finlay Brown of Ireland, a general practitioner in Belfast, first reviewed the brain scan while waiting to hear back from radiologists.
Let me ask you something. Do you recall putting your brain down someplace?
He said, immediately I could see the abnormality and wondered if the patient had failed to tell us about a previous brain surgery in his younger years, or if the patient was born with a brain abnormality. When doctors were told that neither of these scenarios applied to the patient, they were left very curious as to the cause of the findings.
It's a big black spot that, like, the right hemisphere of his brain is gone.
Yeah, he said, it turned out that the patient had a pocket of air inside his skull called a pneumatocele, which was compressing his brain tissue. These air pockets are seen more commonly in patients who have facial trauma or infections or have been at brain surgery. Brown said he had never seen a case of brain pneumatocele tied to symptoms of falling, and he decided to publish this case to emphasize the importance of through investigation of even the most common of symptoms. Doctors told the man that he could perform brain surgery to release the air in the cavity, which would allow his brain to resume its normal shape, as well as a separate surgery to remove the ostoma. But as with any surgery, there would be some risk for the patient. For example, decompressing the brain area could have led to more problems.
Couldn't they just sucked on his ear?
And the surgery might have might not have helped the patient's symptoms. Given the risk and the potential benefits, the patient decided to not have the surgery. And apparently, 12 weeks later, he was fine. So he's just leaving it that way.
This is crazy.
Isn't that wild? A woman in a white dress was pictured in handcuffs during the day in Marana, Arizona. Marana police said the bride was arrested for driving under the influence on her way to her own wedding.
She's tanked up driving to her own wedding.
In her wedding dress.
By the way, don't you usually go like in a limo or something?
She didn't. She was driving.
Why'd she take an Uber?
The sergeant said the arrest happened Monday morning after officers responded to a three-vehicle collision in which one person was transported with minor injuries. The officer said he wasn't sure if she made it to the wedding or not. And then finally, we'll end with this story. A man killed Saturday in West Baltimore was driving to a in a funeral procession when he was shot in his car.
What the hell happened?
Danta Holmes was found suffering from gunshot wounds by officers who heard the gunfire while on patrol. Holmes was taken to a local hospital where he was pronounced dead. A preliminary investigation revealed suspects had approached the vehicle and opened fire before fleeing. An officer said that he did not know for whom the procession was being held.
So
on his way to a funeral, shot and killed.
When I heard the story, I originally thought it was two things. Either that because they were traveling slowly, it pissed off somebody. But this sounds like an assassination.
It might have been a gang-related thing or crime-related somehow or another. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file. By the way, somebody said it's pronounced pneumatocoel. That's the brain condition. So
when a part of your brain falls out of your head?
Yeah, something like that. Sorry I messed that up.
It's okay.
Not a neurologist.
By the way, pneumatocoel is the featured attraction at SeaWorld.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
It's pneumatocoel.
Pneumatocoel. All right, we are done with the B-File, and if you're just tuning in, Casey was whisked away out of here.
It was magical.
By some style professionals who are giving him a spring makeover. We're headed to spring training, and they thought that that was a perfect little, opportunity, as is we're getting ready to go through spring cleaning and stuff like that to kind of give him a little update in his look, and your hair already looks good. They messed with that already?
No, that was all me, man. That was all me.
That's amazing.
I just made it back in here.
This whole time, they've been just coaching me. It was like an intervention. Okay. They haven't even changed any clothes yet. They showed me what they had on the rack.
All right.
And then they... It was an intervention.
So
I didn't realize that, like, I look so bad all the time.
Dude, hey,
that's not what it is.
This is not us. Okay, this is not us saying we need to make over for Casey. Fox 29 approached us, said they had this idea, and Jennifer freely admitted they need something to do on TV.
Yeah.
And so we said, all right, there's not a lot going on, so this guy not.
Are you going to get to keep the clothes they gave you?
No, I'm not mad. So here's the funny thing, right? I played in a basketball game last night, and so I got home. No. I got home. I was tired. I laid this kid out. Yeah. This 11th grader. I crushed this kid. and my body hurt when I got home because I had this major collision. So
you didn't shower.
I didn't shower. I showered before the game because
But that's before a very active game.
I'm wearing I never have mismatching socks on. I'm wearing mismatching socks today.
And like you didn't wipe, probably, right?
I always wipe.
Okay, all right.
I have baby wipes.
All right, baby wipes. Yes, you do actually. So you're not in the best condition for a makeover.
You're a little gross today.
Just relax. Yeah. You're fine.
Actually, no. You're in prime condition. So for before and after, it'll be awesome.
Fair enough.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, to
fair enough.
To the kid I laid out last night. I'm really sorry.
Did you do it on purpose?
No.
Well, then that's part of the game.
But dude, like this kid was driving down the lane, probably like 25 miles per hour, and it's like he hit a brick wall. He just ran into me and went boom on the ground, and I was like, oh, man. And then they called a foul on me. I don't understand that.
You were stationary?
Well, I kind of moved a little bit. All right, just to defend myself, really.
All right. Okay.
All right. I feel good. I'm sweating because I'm a little bit nervous. But
You had the top of the tops here. You have Elise, and you have Angela Perfetto, and Jen. Of course, they're all going to make you the perfect you. So you look so handsome when we go down to spring training.
Mm-hmm. Which is where all the handsome people are.
That's where they are.
That's what we're doing.
We'll be there on Friday.
That's exactly it.
Okay.
Part of the deal is the last thing you want to do is look like as the kids say, grody when you go down to spring training.
All right. So anyhow, keep in mind that we will be in Florida on Friday. And it's our trip is brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, which is really cool.
That is awesome.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. DJ Cumberbun, we're going to meet him. He'll be on the show. He was instrumental in the game we played yesterday, Mashup Madness, as a lot of those mixes were his. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
The secret text word to Bill Murray and the violinist Jan Vogler. We're going to talk to both of those guys tomorrow.
It's amazing.
They're going to be on the show around 9:30 tomorrow. Never had a chance to talk to Bill Murray.
It's such a bizarre story because it started to make the news and about Bill Murray's fascination with this musician in particular and classic music out of the blue.
Yeah. So that'll be at about 9:30 tomorrow, and then we have to skedaddle immediately. because we got to get to the airport on time. We have a noon flight. We got to make it there, you know, make sure we get through security and all that stuff. And then we're headed out to Clearwater.
Maybe we'll have our first group Pierre moment where we miss miss the flight.
Oh, my
God. Because it's razor thin.
I don't know how that guy lives.
I would die. Right now, I'm feeling agita.
Yeah, me too.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and thankfully, they're a sponsor. But Winter Airport parking is great.
They're awesome.
I don't know why Pierre doesn't use them. Maybe he does now? Okay.
Yeah. In fact, they were the ones that told him his car hadn't been registered for 22 years.
Are you serious? Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're right.
Okay.
Because while we're going, I've asked when we do airport parking, they're like, do you need inspection? Do you need oil change? All this stuff. I'm like, no, but I'm going to get an oil change this time.
So you go away and you come back and they'll detail your car. They'll have everything. It's a godsend and you don't have to put up with that morass of crap at the airport.
Yeah. All right. So that is tomorrow that we're headed out. So
they're our best bet to make the flight.
So that'll be 9:30. Roughly, Bill Murray on tomorrow morning. Speaking of interviews, I'm going to read this email, Steve. This guy tweeted out and you commented on it, but he wanted to send an email. I'll leave his name off here, but he said, hey, I wanted to take a second and thank you guys for having DMC on the other day. I sent a message out on Twitter, but I also wanted to thank you guys kind of in person and send this email. That interview touched me in places that I don't think about anymore. I went through a lot of crap over in my life. I guess, like he said, I've been self-medicating with alcohol. I normally drink about a 12-pack a night. He said, yes, that's every night. When I don't, the thoughts in my head take over when I try to sleep. I've been putting up a false front for years. I'm on my third marriage because I push everyone away. My wife is now my first girlfriend from eighth grade. We got back together 8 years ago, and now I feel myself doing the same old crap that I've done for years. Well, after hearing this interview with DMC, this effing BS ends today.
That's so good.
Which he put in all caps, and he said, sorry for cyber yelling there. but after sitting in my truck, he said, now picture this, a 47-year-old, 400-pound, bald-headed, long goatee-wearing truck driver bawling my damn eyes out. He said, I feel better already. Thank you so much for everything that you do, and I love you all. Now that I've bored the dog S out of you, I'm off to my next stop. Love you. And like I said, I'll leave his name off of there. But such an inspiring interview.
That's characteristic of a number of emails and tweets and things that I got back. I know you all got back concerning that interview.
Yeah.
There was something because of the honesty and purity of what he was saying and his life experience that resonated with so many people.
I got a nice email from his manager last night. He's like, anytime you guys want to have him on, obviously when he's in town, he'd love to come back in. So that was cool. And we will have him back in. And then I went to one of my favorite places yesterday called Shaving Grace. And my friend Andy works there. And Andy and his girlfriend and their kids went to the event with the Sixers on Monday night. And they said, and then Daryl McDaniels came out, the DMC, and chatted with everybody and took pictures and shook hands and said he could not have been a nicer guy. So it wasn't just for the radio. It wasn't just for publicity. Yeah. That's who he is. He's a decent, kind person.
Yeah, we were all blown away by that. That's available on the podcast, by the way. You want to listen to it. I highly recommend, especially if you're having some issues, if there's something. He said some really positive, no-nonsense, smart stuff.
No, he's not being a Pollyanna about anything. He's being, it's real world. His book, what is it, 10 ways to
not kill yourself?
To not kill yourself, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Real quick, for those who don't know, we're doing a makeover with Casey, Fox 29 today, doing a spring spruce-up for Casey.
Yes.
And his wardrobe, and I guess his hair as well, because Angela's here.
Yeah.
Angela Perfetto. And Jennifer Frederick is here, and also Alicia.
Alicia Federico from Dressing Jane.
Dressing Jane.
If you ever go to the KOP Mall, there's a huge picture of her. Is that still
there's a couple of them there.
Yeah.
She's all over the mall.
All right, so what are we doing here? Are they coming back? Are we going to go live on Fox?
I think they're bringing them back in here.
Like at a
couple of like 2 minutes, I think.
8:30. They're gonna
do, yeah, so a live TV hit, and then we have a guest, right?
It's 8:31 right now, so I'm just trying to. This is TV. See, radio's so much.
We can so stink and still succeed,
and we can just do whatever we want, whenever we want. And now TV's got to be like right on the second. Gotta have it right on the time.
We're not used to that.
Mm-mm. So we got time to kill for the time being. So I told the 8:30, and it's 8:31 now. So now I'm just pissed.
I got a shard out if you want to. If you need a little
that'd
bit
be
of moment.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's is for Lauren or Laureen. It's Laureen, which is a name I've not heard before.
Laureen.
Yeah, but she wanted to send it out for her father, his name is Bob, and also her sisters, Lauren and Amanda. No, she's Lauren. Anyway, Amanda is one of the sisters, and a brother is Robbie, and this is for the whole family, so this is for you guys.
All right, and I have one here as well. It says, help me find this. Well, chance you can give a shout-out to Haley G. of Audubon, PA. Her birthday is March 18th, which is 2 days after mine. She had foot surgery, and it would make her day. Thank you so much. You rock, and that's from Megan Adeletto. So here you go. It's a shout-out for you as well. And what else?
There's something we talked about earlier. You may want to bring up. It's a quick story about the Cape May. I don't know if you have time. Well, or do you want to hold on
I'm waiting for them to walk in any second. So,
all right. So make up a chart.
You know, I didn't do I had nothing to do with those guys.
Honestly. I know, all man. Right, it's cool. It's
your fault. All right,
you're still
my fault.
You're still dealing with that paralyzing injury you threw on that 18-year-old last night.
I guess
he
could.
He was probably 16.
Wait, here we go. What?
30 seconds. TV. Right.
Why don't we sing a song or something?
Like that? Ooh.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Sing a song.
I do have. What?
What?
Well, I'm looking already, and I see things that are not going to work. They're not going to work.
So they're coming in with different.
They brought in the rack of clothes, and Casey is not liking. You know,
you have to give it a chance.
No. You'll hear me out. I'll wait until the TV cameras go live.
Shot,
but
yeah.
But there are two things in particular that just straight up, no chance in hell is it ever going to work. And, okay. You'll find out why.
Okay. Good morning, gorgeous.
Oh, all right, here we go. Jennifer's
so Mike
on
and
now.
Alex just said you hate change.
Yeah. Do I?
Yes.
Do I, though?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Because
you can't let things go.
Yeah. No, you're probably right about that.
Oh, bring Fox up. Okay.
I'll bring Fox up. All right. I don't know. I don't know for sure. If these guys are saying I don't like change, and I guess they're right.
Now, you have to admit, Alisa is here from Dressing Jane.
You got to talk into that part.
Right? Yeah. Okay. That doesn't go all the way around?
No.
Okay.
No.
Crazy radio mic.
Are different.
Angela's here from Gravity Hair Salon. So some of the looks are not your style. Some are. Fair?
Yeah, fair.
Okay. So we started with some shorts that you said reminded you of?
Not the ones that I'm wearing, but the shorts, they reminded me of something my dad would wear.
Okay. Dad shorts.
Like straight up like cotton shorts that
is that
a drawstring on them. I honest to God.
But you realize you have a style expert here telling you that that's what's in style.
So all right. So my dad is more fashionable than I am.
But you know the trends.
We were worried about the comfort. Alisa was worried about the comfort.
Comfort was the first key in putting you together because I know that's really important for you, just like many guys out there.
All right. So if I'm going to wear quote unquote stylish shorts, you know, for like a night out or whatever, I'm not going to wear those. I'll wear these.
Exactly.
I'm not telling
you to wear these guys. I'm saying trade out your meshies for something super cozy like these.
Never.
Whenever a guy is shopping for something to wear out, he wants it to be cozy.
Yeah.
That's the operative word you hear.
Wait,
right.
At the end of the day, Preston?
Well, yeah. I think there's a difference, right? Like if I want to wear my meshies, I wear my meshies, right? And
yeah.
I don't necessarily care. But if I want to go out and like and have nice shorts on, then I have, you know.
Quick question. Have you tried these shorts on?
I won't try them on because I don't like the way they look.
You don't even know. You didn't even put them on.
That to me would be at least
rigid.
Oh.
Right.
He's
going to try them on.
He's taking his pants off.
He's taking his pants off.
I will say the pair that he likes. I have my back to him right now.
He just took his pants off.
As all the other women except for
Should I look?
Kathy's looking. The other women are not looking. I have to say, the shorts that he did like were the most fashionable shorts that Alisa brought.
All right.
They're like a flat front.
Right, Casey, you're right. Get those off.
I can turn around.
Yeah, you can turn around.
Oh, we got a wrap.
Hang on. Oh, we got a wrap?
I can turn around. We got a wrap. The final thing is at 9:45. Wow. Is he naked?
No.
He's got his shorts on.
No,
what do you think?
No, with the proper t-shirt in the right color. Guys, you're not letting the whole outfit come to life. He's got an Eagles t-shirt on.
Which shirt do you want me to wear?
All right. Well, Mike and Alex, we'll talk to you guys later.
Yeah,
all right,
no,
Mike and Alex,
away.
We love you. Right. We'll be back at 9:45. Preston and Steve.
All right.
With your layer.
All right, here we go. He's changing fully. Shirt off, the whole thing right here.
I mean,
he is to the end of
one
his
moment.
Rope.
One moment. So there was... There's so many people talking, it was hard to keep up. But Casey put on the pants. He just goes immediately, these are stupid. These are stupid.
No, don't put. Can I see that just that?
All right, come over here.
I'm sorry. Come around so I can see this.
All right.
My question is a simple one.
That's actually not bad.
That looks better than your bathing suits that you wear to work sometimes.
Oh.
They're not bathing suits. I am supporting a charity.
Okay.
I am supporting the Headstrong Foundation.
Right, okay. I think that looks great.
Does it?
Yes.
Okay.
But you guys like the other shorts that he had on first.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
All right. Here he comes. Wow. Okay. Wow, it's Crockett from Miami Vice.
Listen, don't.
You look good, Case.
Some attention from women. Why are you not trusting what women say?
We do trust what women say.
The glasses look good. I like them a lot.
Thank you. All right. My glasses. I got nice Ray-Bans in my car.
He said he had cracked Ray-Bans in his cars. And we're like, do you have shades? He's like, yeah, I'm totally good with the Ray-Bans. It's awesome. We're like, okay, so bring them up. He said, well, they're cracked.
All right. So wait. Okay, and
Angela's doing his hair.
I have to say, I am not mad at this look.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He looks good.
He looks like Casey.
Like Lloyd Christmas.
No, Case, you flat out look good,
Case,
man.
You look cute.
Yeah.
And like, I would Preston, never
you look
say
good.
That.
You don't like. You look like you were, you got cute jeans on.
You know what?
I'll tell you this,
Case. And here's the deal: there is an element of non-douchey hipness to it that
oh
I like.
My God.
Non-douchey?
Non-douchey.
That's
non-douchey?
The NDH.
You mean that?
I swear to God, it actually works.
All right, because that's a problem I have with fashion a lot of times.
That you end up looking douchey.
Is that I think a lot of guys end up looking douchey.
No, especially for you. This has, do you like the shorts that high or do you like them a little longer?
I like them a little longer, right?
Okay, I do know that. Okay, but they still look good.
Right? You know how like Copper looks douchey all the time because he tries so hard?
It's just impossible.
Yeah. You don't look like Cowper.
Okay, you are not Cowpering. And I know that's probably in the fashion industry that's a term, right?
Case, Cowpering. We can't see your knees. It's not like they're like up around, you know, your business. Yeah. They are longer. Yeah. They're just not at your shin.
All right, here, can you say to them? Here, get over to my mic. Oh, you got it? Okay.
So this is another thing. The length of the shorts, that is a way that guys look dated. When you wear swim trunks or casual shorts that go way beyond your knee, that's like 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I'm not giving him little shorty shorts where the thigh is showing. They're still skimming the knee. So they're updated, but they're still length appropriate.
So if they go down to about knee level, they're current.
The knee,
below, yes. A little bit below the knee. All right.
I just don't want my balls hanging out. You know what I'm saying?
No, and I'm sure. Yeah.
Case.
I'm checking
She's checking your balls. Hang, yeah. No, right. No hanging.
I think he looks so awesome. Good.
All right. This is deserving of a Twitter poll.
Oh, my God, yes.
This Case, is deserving of a Twitter poll.
You look really good.
I have to say yes.
Even if you give us that dour, I'm sad look.
Yeah, you're good at the posing. Teach him how to pose.
Put you the sunglasses on.
I am not putting my hand on my hip. Yes, I am. I always put my hand on my hip. Somebody take the mic.
Take the mic away. Put the shades on.
Yeah. Can I take this thing off?
Yeah.
No, in case you want to return them.
Just all put right. it on. We don't have time.
No, don't do that.
No.
Now you're looking
hands
douchey.
Pockets,
yes.
I don't think you need the shades on.
Hands at the side. Relax. Not in the pockets. There we go.
Yes! Okay. Yes!
Yeah, what he wants nothing to do with this,
but
Kathy.
So good.
I know he does. I know he looks really good.
And how you can't get more comfortable than cotton shorts.
Mm-hmm. I know.
All right.
Wait, I want a picture of you. You look so good. I want a picture of you.
May I feel the short material?
Yeah, just right around this area.
Yeah. Now you need to.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Can you come over here to the mic?
And Kathy wants to take a picture of you real quick.
All right.
Okay, got it. Awesome. Right,
cool. That's pretty good looking.
You have nice legs. Show them off.
Hang on a second, everybody. So I have a question.
Yeah.
You look really good, but do you care about how you look?
Not really.
Okay.
No, I mean, listen, in certain situations, like, yes, if I'm going to go out to dinner with my wife or something along those lines, yes, I feel like
do yourself up. You present yourself nicely.
I feel like I had the appropriate events. Attire.
However, I'll tell you this. I think you're so down on yourself.
Yeah.
That you, because I know years ago in Preston, you know, Casey would show up pretty stylish to events, you know, going back to
Y100. They wear a polo.
Yeah. And you'd care about your clothes.
I wear to the latest calendar? Because I always, you know, the calendar party, release party, I was like, wear something nice.
You had sweatpants on.
This past year, I had sweatpants on. Yeah. Whatever.
But radio, we are allowed to dress as currently today. I'm going to go work out after this. I'm just wearing workout clothes.
I'll tell you what, I hate suits. I hate them.
I do too.
I hate them. But like other stuff, like I get some button downs and stuff like that.
So
it's a lot of work.
Let me say this. If the temperature is like 70, 68, 70, it could be a little chilly down there.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're set.
Yeah, I don't
Case,
know.
Do you, how do you feel in that? Do you feel comfortable?
Well, now everybody's staring at me, so I feel super uncomfortable.
Don't look at us.
All right. Well, I don't even know what I look like. I got to go check it out in the mirror.
Okay. Go check it out in the mirror.
Because it's weird. So my wife, every now and again, will get me like clothes for my birthday or Christmas or whatever. I'm like, that's not my style. It's like, I don't like those colors. I don't normally wear
like blacks or I don't even know.
Was she dressing you like a rabbi?
No, no, I don't know. But like you had horizontal stripes. I'm like, I don't wear horizontal stripes. Just don't wear them.
They're not flattering, right?
I don't know. I just don't like them. You know what? I feel like it looks like the shirts from like the kids wore in the 60s.
All right.
By the way, I'd read somewhere that that horizontal stripes don't necessarily make you look more overweight. That used to be the common misconception,
right?
That it did
it's
do
about
that.
The stripe width.
It's the stripe width,
really.
When you start going bigger than a finger's width, that's when it starts making you. But like those are thin horizontal stripes, so it's true to what you're saying.
Okay, I feel like if sense. I put those on, I could be playing baseball at the Sandlot. Okay. You know.
I do want to say one thing. When I work with new clients, this is generally the feedback that I get. I don't know. That's not my style. I don't like that. But what happens is I say, you give me one chance. If you go walk out on the street right now, Casey, I want to see the comments that you get, the looks. It builds the self-confidence and it really gives me the credibility. And then you're like, you know what? I do trust her. I dressed you like Casey, not like Metro guy walking down.
Not Metro douchey guy.
Walnut Street. Right.
So we took a picture. We put it up on a Twitter poll. We'll throw it to the masses. See what they say. Right. My vote is you look good.
Hey, yes. Jen, what time are we going back on TV?
Okay, so we're going back on TV at 9:45, and okay. I have to say, this outfit that he poo-pooed,
yeah.
He basically squished like a bug. We like this outfit.
You misunderstood. He poo-pooed in it.
Okay, there's that too.
Non-returnable.
There's an outfit that, dare I say, Elisa, is 20 times more stylish, and Casey liked it on the rack.
Okay,
yeah. All right. So it's even going to get better. Like, yeah, we've
it's
just begun.
Get better, guys.
I like this one.
Real quick. I don't want to waste your time. You have two pairs of flip-flops. I won't wear them. I don't wear flip-flops. I don't like them between my toes. I don't.
Then you could opt for a pool slide. That could be your thing.
Yeah. There we go. All right.
We'll do
so
sandals,
what do you
flip-flops.
Like between your toes? That's the expose. We really want
to
hear.
All right. Let them go about their business because we got a guest who's on the line. I want to talk to him
real
quick.
This guy was a superstar for us yesterday.
Well, yesterday, I came up with an idea for a game. It was called Mashup Madness. There are so many great mashups of songs that you can find online on YouTube. And, they crack me up. They're great. They're so creative and they're fun. And some of them work.
Some of them, it's a testament to this guy's ability.
Yeah.
I would listen to as a standalone song.
And I wasn't even aware of this until he tweeted out that he wanted to hear it on our show. So we played Pants Feet yesterday, and I'm gonna play
so
a little
good.
Bit. I'm gonna play a little bit before you, and then we'll talk to you. Feast. Hey, this is DJ Cumberbund.
Yeah!
He's on the show. DJ, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. So should I call you DJ Cumberbund? What do you want?
Whatever your little heart desires, baby.
All right. Nice, man. Well, listen, yeah, we were playing a game yesterday, and we picked out a few of your songs to play the mashups with Ozzy and Earth, Wind & Fire, and then we had, what was it, Jerry Luce?
Jeremy and Footloose. That was my personal favorite, and that's how I was made aware of you a few months ago.
Yeah. How long have you been mixing songs up like this, man?
I've been mixing for about 2 years now. I've only just started to get a little popular.
Okay.
I did listen to a segment yesterday, and it was fantastic. I think it was a great game.
Oh, thanks. Cool. You know what it does, and what happened to the people who were playing, what they said about it, is that, you know, you match them so well that one song sort of gets lost in the other, and you're battling back and forth to try to figure out what song it is. I have to ask you, what was your first mix like this, your first mashup? And what's your background? Are you a legitimate like club DJ? What's your history?
My first mashup was that Bruno Mars song. With Macho Man Randy Savage when he came out with a rap album. That was my first mashup. What was that Bruno Mars song? It was really popular.
His first big hit?
Yes.
I'm having a brain fart, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I mashed it with Macho Man Randy Savage, and it took off. People loved it.
Locked Out of Heaven?
And no, the popular one.
It was popular.
He's got so many popular
ones. Yeah,
all right. It's a couple of years.
Oh, Uptown Funk Macho Mix. It's up here. We got it on the screen. That's you, yeah.
There it is.
There you go. All right, so that was the first one. And that took off. I do remember that now. Now that I'm looking at it. So,
but Steven asked if you were a club DJ before.
Yeah,
I am not. I do live appearances. Every now and then, I'll come out of my studio for charity or something like that. But I don't usually do clubs all that much.
All right, I'm looking at your YouTube page, and you've done a bunch of these, man. Are you cranking these out every week?
Yeah, I love to spend time in the studio. It's kind of my therapy, and I do what I got to do to survive. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And did I read correctly that you, if you make money off of these, you donate the money to charity?
I do. When anybody hits me up on celebrityvideomessages.com for a shout out, all the money goes to the North Shore Animal League.
Ah, that's an excellent charity.
Yeah.
So
I appreciate everything they do. I'm a huge Pitbull fan, and I know they got a lot of.
Let me ask you, because so you're using these songs and you're doing the mashup. Have you ever had anyone complain that they've been an artist contact you that they were upset that you incorporated one of their songs into one of your mixes?
My mashups are magic, baby. Nobody complains.
Nobody complains. There we go.
That's nice. And has anybody a fan, anybody in any of these bands gotten in touch and said that they like what you've done with it?
Actually, someone very special, Dave Grohl, got in touch.
Get out.
No way.
And, he got in touch. He endorsed it. He tweeted it out, Facebook, Instagram, everything. And he also did it live. In concert, he ended Pretender with Super Freak and Help Me Rhonda, and actually that video is up on my YouTube page as well.
Dude, that's so cool. I have to ask you, what do you, like, for example, Pants Feet, that had to be an arduous task putting that together. What program are you using, or how are you able to get everything to sync up and sound so seamless?
I just kind of yell at my computer
a
lot.
And that gets,
things seem to fit.
It
takes me a while. But at the same time, the payoff was fantastic. I couldn't be happier with that song.
How many hours does it take for you to put together something like that?
Well, it all depends on what it is. If you're looking at Pants Feet, it takes a lot longer because I'm modifying pretty much everything. If you're looking at Earth, Wind, and Ozzy's, that could take me as little as a couple of days.
It's still a lot of work, but with like Pants Feet, I assume are you using like a auto tune and everything to it, because some things may not sync up exactly the way you want them.
David Copperfield told me never to talk about that.
Never reveal your secrets.
By the way, the Earth, Wind, and Ozzy has over 2 million views on it. That's I think it's one of your more popular videos, right?
Yeah, it is. It is one of my babies. I'm hoping that the new one I just put out the other day takes off. I think it's really good. Actually, I think it's very good, and I'm hoping other people catch on to it.
What is it?
It's Disturbed with Stevie Wonder and Will Smith.
Disturbed with Stevie Wonder and Will Smith.
Land of Confusion with I Wish.
Okay. All right. I've not listened to that one yet. I'm going to check that out.
When you just hear the title, you're like, how could that possibly work? But I'm sure it will.
Well, listen, we're going to keep using these for a game every now and then, if you don't mind, man, because that was a lot of fun doing that yesterday.
Absolutely not. Your fans seem to really love it, and I love the fact that everybody is a huge fan of it. And you know what? It's a genre that needs to be picked up more and more, so I appreciate the exposure.
Yeah, listen, and if it we would love to requisition a theme song for our game from you, whatever creatively you could come up with. We call it Mashup Madness. I couldn't even begin to think of what songs you could put together that would be a nice little theme song to play, or you could even record something. But if you don't have to do anything like that, but if you're feeling creative and you want to slap something together for us, man, we'd be honored to play that.
We'll see what hits your email box.
All right. Good man. Cool. And what do you do? What's your day job, by the way, DJ Cummerbund? What do you do?
I just chill in the studio and do what I got to do.
You're a professional studio chiller.
All right. I love it, man.
Exactly.
All right. Well, cool. This stuff's a lot of fun, man. Keep it up, all right?
Thanks, guys. Stay in touch.
All right. Cool, buddy. DJ Cummerbund, yeah! Guys. Love it. You know what? I went, the one that I really liked was Rock and Roll Until a Reasonable Hour, which
this
was
is great.
This one. Chorus. I love it. Somebody says, I'm looking at his list of videos here, that he has one that's John Lennon, Imagine, but it's Imagine There's No Yoo-Hoo.
What? Imagine There's No Yoo-Hoo.
I'm going to have to listen to that.
That might be a contender to Pants Feet.
And the videos are just as good. I mean, the videos are fun. You know, obviously the music makes it, but the videos that go along with it are terrific as
well. You know what? You're right. I didn't even ask him about that. Who mixes up those? Yeah. Who makes those? Wow. All right. Well, we're doing a kind of a spring spruce up with Casey outfit-wise. The outfit looks good on you, man.
Are we getting a different one?
No, it's
the same one. That's the one I would go on TV with later on when you go on with Mike and Alex.
It's not. I looked in the mirror. Maybe it looks good on some people. I just don't like denim shirts.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, all right. I don't know.
Well, do we have any feedback coming in from the poll so far, Marissa?
Oh, was there
I don't think we've done it yet. So we'll do a before and after, Casey. Are we doing before and after, Marissa, or are we just doing? Okay. All right. So check Twitter when you get a chance. Let's take a break. Come back in a second. When we return, we have a guest who's going to be here to tell you about a chance for you to be in a movie, possibly.
Yeah.
When filming here in Philadelphia. We'll get back to that and more. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? Well, Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go right now. Check out his Ready for Love diamond engagement ring collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free, all at the perfect price. One place, one price. Steven Singer Jewelers.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Tomorrow morning, Bill Murray on the show, along with Jan Vogler, who is a cellist. And he and Bill are going to be performing together. Actually, the performing will be taking place with the cellist. But I think Bill's going to be reading like some literature and stuff like that. It's a culture-filled evening.
Yeah. I was reading about the show, and it sounds bizarrely engaging.
May the Academy of Music on April 4th, so we'll have both those guys on tomorrow. But with Secret Text Word, we have tickets to that event. So text the word SECRET to 39333, and we'll see if you can win a little bit later on this morning. We have a guest who is actually on the phone line. She couldn't make it in, so she gave us a call real quick. But it's a call to those who want to be on film somewhere in Philadelphia. So we have our good friend Diane Heary of Heary Casting. Yay! Hello, Diane.
Woo! Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing good. How are you?
All right.
All right, so to bring people back up to speed, in case you're not familiar with Diane Heary, if there's a movie that's filming in town, Diane casts the movie. That's usually the way it works. There's so many, and some movies have a whole lot of roles available, don't they, Diane?
Well, actually, yeah. I mean, what's been really great is over the years, Philadelphia's reputation as having a place that has great talent has grown. And many of the producers come to Philly not just looking for their extras, but their speaking parts.
Yeah.
And we have over 40 speaking parts in this film that are going to come from local people.
That's excellent. All different degrees of dialogue demands, I assume?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, we're talking about Creed 2, Michael B. Jordan, and when does this... Well, and obviously Sylvester Stallone. When does the whole project get started, or is it underway now?
Well, we're... we're in the final throes of preparation. We're shooting a couple little scenes this week, but the main event of shooting, we start on April 2nd.
Okay, and what are you guys looking for?
Oh, a lot of people.
Okay.
This is, you know, another film in the whole Rocky franchise, and because of that, I mean, just the nature of what we need is, you know, it's the fabulous crowds watching the fight sequences. You know, we have people in the nightclubs with Bianca. We have people, you know, on the streets. I mean, it's a lot. It's probably one of the, you know, and this particular one may be the biggest in scope of film that's ever been filmed in Philadelphia. This one's actually going to be bigger than Creed.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's saying a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. And looking at the description here, not only are you looking for SAG-AFTRA folks, which would be us, we are in the union, but non-union men and women as well, and run the age gamut, 18 to 70, and these are all paid positions, Diane?
Absolutely. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we're all over with this one, especially this one has more fight sequences in it than the other film had. So, you know, it's like we have a scene, an all shooting here in the Philadelphia area, but we have a scene that, you know, a fight that's supposed to be in Las Vegas.
Okay.
We have a fight that's supposed to be in New York. We have a fight, the big finale fight, which is supposed to shoot in Russia.
So, this has overtones of Rocky IV in it, then, it sounds like.
Yes, it does.
So you're saying, really, don't worry about what they're looking for, just what you guys are looking for. There's something for a lot of people. You might get a shot at it.
Absolutely. And because, like, the fight sequences, they're complicated. And, you know, it's funny, if they're doing their job well, you look at the scene on film and you go, oh, wow, that was really cool, and not realizing that scene probably took days to shoot to make it look that easy. And, like, most of these, you know, the fight sequences are going to take multiple days. So we are looking for people who can commit to be there multiple days because you got to match.
Okay.
You know, so
yeah.
if you're ringside and we see you and then you're not there the next day in shooting, it's going to be, why is that chair empty? And then the chair is full again, you know, in editing. Mm.
Yeah. Or maybe they went to the bathroom real quick.
It's quite possible. Yeah, it does happen in real life. I've seen people literally go to the bathroom.
Yep.
But I have to ask because then you don't have to confirm or deny, but we believe that Apollo Creed himself comes back. He was frozen by the Russians and given a metallic left arm.
Oh, my God.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, I know you're in a precarious place. You don't need to talk.
But, I mean, I have to, you know, and I have to mention, first of all, guys, that a few years ago, the name of our company changed, and we're Heery Loftus Casting.
I was looking at that. I'm sorry I misspoke there.
Jason Loftus is my partner who's worked with me for years, and mm-hmm. now he's, you know, he's full partner on the whole deal, and he's a big part of all this because he's the Mr. Sports guy, and he really understands all the sports and really gets into those factors for us a lot.
Yeah, the name has a lot of credit. If you want to even tick it up a little bit more, Diane, you can call it Microsoft.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
A lot of cred.
Yeah, you bet.
All right, so we've piqued everyone's interest, Diane. How do they get signed up or get the details or what do they need to do?
Well, I mean, the best place is just go to our website, and we have all the information on the website of how to submit yourself and, you know, what information we need, and we have set up a special email address for people to email in. And, you know, just, you know, fill out the info, send in a picture, and, you know, believe me, there's so much in this film. It's a complicated, there's a lot of shots, and we're going until Memorial Day.
Wow. That's a long shoot, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, people, you know, don't panic if you haven't heard on April 2nd. We're maybe saving you for a scene that's happening in the middle of May.
You know, it's cool, and even if you have no aspirations of being an actor or doing it, to be on a set and to see them doing these things is so much fun. If you're even mildly fascinated with movies, you have to do it at least once.
Oh, yeah. You know, it is. Yeah. And I understand it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
But I you know, everybody who's never been on a set before, they go at least once and they are fascinated because it is. There's so much going on, and you say, oh, I'm just an extra. Yeah. And I never want to hear anybody say just an extra.
Okay.
Because let's face it, it is, movie making is a business. And if they didn't need you, they wouldn't be paying for you.
That's right. That's the credo of prostitutes.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
But that's the truth. So you don't need, you know, we need you, and that you're not just an extra, because we need you. And so you're an important part of the filmmaking process. You're helping paint the picture for the scene.
Love it.
So if anybody's interesting, they need to go to castinghl.com. That's casting and the letters HL.com. And what we will do is we will post that on our website for those who listen to the show, know where to go, and they can get it right on the front there. And go ahead and get signed up and get ready for this whole thing. Right. That's cool. I'm excited that all of these scenes are going to be shot here, Diane. I'm on the board of the Greater Philadelphia Film Office. You know, obviously know Sharon and everybody over there. So seeing this work being done in our area, feeding the economy and putting more of a spotlight on our awesome city
is always
just a welcome thing. It's so cool.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, and I want to know where I can get some of those cozy shorts that Casey has.
They are nice.
Well, at Target. I believe.
The shades just finished the whole look.
Yes. I'm sure it does.
You getting thumbs up from a casting expert.
Hey, does the movie need any fat blue-haired guys?
Well, there's a possibility. Absolutely.
All right.
Well, isn't it? Creed's best friend is called Jimmy Bluehair.
We're always looking for colorful characters.
Yes.
All right, cool. Diane, we'll put the word out, all right?
Thank you so much, guys.
All right, thank you. We'll see you later. Diane Heary of Heary Loftus Casting. And if there's a movie being made, man, they're the ones you got to get in touch with because they get you in the flicks. So very, very cool. And you just had Glass that was filmed here, and now this, and we want to see more and more of it. So I'm in these meetings for the board.
Yes.
And Sharon knows all the movies and potential projects and stuff like that. Man, a lot of times stuff gets filtered over to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh! Where it would be perfect here, or it gets taken out of state, which is the real bitch of it all, because there's not money coming into the state, and I love seeing projects like this come up.
It looks like It's Always Sunny will be back in June, too, and it's been a few years for them.
Yeah.
So they'll be doing some filming in and around town, too.
Yeah, the Cora Golf Outing
is
coming up with It's Always Sunny.
Yeah, late
June
for that.
Yeah, I was just looking at the IMDb for Creed 2, and she said, you know, it's supposed to be, there's a boxing match in Russia, and yes, Ivan Drago is back.
So is it Drago's son?
Yes.
Skip Drago?
Well, I was thinking Igor.
Igor Drago?
But it's Victor. Victor Drago.
Victor
and
Drago.
And the guy playing Victor Drago is jacked. I don't know who that guy is.
He is.
But he's a big dude. So that's cool. I know you guys hate it, but I loved Rocky IV. I love
it. Listen, for what it was, you know, yeah, I got it. But
look at
this
dude, Preston.
Whoa.
Jesus Christ.
Guys, cut up, man.
Most boxers, by the way, don't get that ripped up, you know.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
But
all right, well, that's cool. This is going to be shooting in town. Hey, this is a pretty cool thing. Steve, you had mentioned this, teased this earlier, but back-to-back winter storms hitting New Jersey have helped uncover these abandoned train tracks. They're called the Ghost Tracks in Cape May.
Have you guys ever heard of the Ghost Tracks?
No.
No.
All right, this is really cool.
They are at Higbee Beach.
Okay.
And what happens is when there's enough of a storm that washes away the sand... These tracks appear from underneath there, and they actually go back to World War One. They were it was a rail line that once served as support for sand mining and munitions testing facilities in World War One.
Where's Higbee Beach, Nick?
So if you are headed south on Cape May Point, the lighthouse is closest to town. If you go around the point back towards the bay, towards the Delaware Bay, that's where Higbee Beach is.
Is that where the sunken ship is by any chance?
No, that's Sunset Beach. So you have to go past there, past the ferry, and then you get to Higbee Beach.
Okay.
It's a little bit more removed. And Steve, I'm wondering if this, you know, that ship was uncovered. Where was that? In Nova Scotia?
It was in Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. Okay.
Right. So it's the same situation.
And then does it get covered back over again? Once?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's only exposed for a little while.
Yeah, right. Which makes it even, it's almost like the Return of the Flying Dutchman, you know, like it's a thing that happens periodically.
These popped up last summer as well, but apparently they are more intact and level than the segment that appeared last year.
There are a couple texts coming in, and I smiled when you mentioned Higbee Beach because it is known sometimes to be a private beach, a.k.a. a nude beach.
Oh, yeah?
No kidding.
I don't know if that's fully sanctioned, but it's been rumored for a while.
Okay.
I don't know why there aren't train lines to Jersey Shore towns anymore. I guess it's expense and cost and everything else, but really the only way to get to Cape May and those beach towns via mass transit is by bus.
Like up in Long Island, you can take the train, the Long Island Railroad, out to Montauk Point.
Right.
It's
out
to the 17 hours, yeah, but you can do it.
Yeah, you can do it.
Hey, and also in the beach towns, you can hop on jitneys. You know what a jitney
yes,
is?
Yes, the buses, yeah.
Yeah.
But they only run within that town. They don't cross any bridges.
Correct. Is a jitney like a common
It's when you're really excited and... No, no.
Well, I wasn't sure if it was daughter. A common term all across the country or not.
Yeah.
I do not know.
It okay.
Is it?
I'm gonna jitney.
I don't know. I can't think of the actual word now.
Yeah. Just do it till I jitney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, because the first time I had ever heard that, I thought it was a joke. I thought, yeah. I for some reason, I'm like, okay, well, there's a joke here, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No, it's called a jitney. Okay.
Yeah, it's a small bus or car.
We're the show that brought you fart bubbles in the
gorps.
Gorps into jitneys.
And whatever the other name was. Yeah. Was.
Fonz and Noni.
I wrote it down.
I just had a bizarre
deja vu
thing happen. Oh. I was looking at you, and out of the corner of my eyes, the pants that you were wearing earlier are laying over here.
Yeah.
I thought it was Marissa bent over picking something up. I guess we'll get more on Casey's makeover here in a little bit. But, Casey, you'd mentioned something earlier this morning about using baby wipes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
NBC 10 had a story yesterday. Personal hygiene wipes apparently they're destroying a town's sewage system, Pottstown. And these are the ones that are the disposable ones.
Yeah, so there was a plumber once. Actually, he was on our show, and he said, if they say it doesn't matter if they say they're disposable,
yes.
No wipes are disposable.
I thought I remembered that because that was the bane of his existence was the perception that these things, you know, disintegrate when they get flushed down or whatever, and they don't.
Pottstown spent about $120,000 last year fixing broken machinery and fishing out clumps of the so-called flushable wipes from traps and pumps at the borough's wastewater plant. A worker there said they come into the plant just as they left your toilet. Despite being labeled as biodegradable and flushable, there's a well-documented history of wet wipes failing to disintegrate before they reach sewage facilities.
What I do is I will wash them out in the sink and I hang them on a little thin wire that goes across.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
One town, Wyoming, Minnesota, filed a lawsuit against a wipe manufacturer arguing tests that certify the wipes as flushable do not mimic real-life conditions. And the issue has gotten so bad in Pottstown that the town has dedicated a dumpster outside the plant for disposing the impassable wet wipes just for them.
They've actually outlawed nighttime defecating.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
At night, it's not all right?
Yeah, at night, it's not all right. In the day, crap away.
A local plumber says that he's seen a huge increase in wipe-related clogs inside homes and businesses recently.
Huh.
They said the town doesn't expect to see the issue go away anytime soon. They've applied for a $500,000 grant to upgrade the treatment plant so they can better break down the wipes.
So that brings up a whole, what kind of chemicals are needed to break down the wipes? And
I don't know.
I don't know.
Do you use the baby wipes at home?
I do.
You may not want to do that.
Yeah.
Just for your own plumbing issue. You know.
Do you use them every time or in what you would believe to be a more Jackson Pollock-like situation?
I use them every time now. Every time. I like to feel clean.
Here, just spit on your toilet paper.
Okay.
Oh. There you go.
Well, no, every now and again.
And do the spit string if you're feeling a little horny.
If I run out of wipes, I will wet toilet paper. The problem with that is the toilet paper is so brittle it breaks apart.
Yeah, it falls apart.
Use wax paper.
Ooh, you can do that.
That's what I do.
Now, that wouldn't flush too well either.
But I make sure that the wipes that I use are for, like, sensitive skin or whatever. Because if you use those wipes that have like that are, like, alcohol-based, you can really burn your butthole.
Well, you can. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know what commercial drives me crazy? Is the bear, or the animated bear comes out of the, we can't stay here.
Yeah.
This toilet paper is inferior. It's like, wait a second, jerk off. We're going to blow off our entire travel, our vacation, because of your ass? And I know it's just an animated bear, but it's
a bear. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Besides, they can pick up a rabbit and wipe his ass with it if
exactly.
You want to.
That's why rabbits always run away from bears.
Yeah. There's something that I would not have heard of before, since we're talking about the toilet. Vacation-induced constipation.
Okay.
Vic, for short.
Is it because you eat bad on vacation?
VIC, that's part of it. But have you ever noticed that if you've gone on vacation that you have a hard time pooping?
I'm regular as... I'm right as rain.
I sort of. Sometimes on a plane,
for some reason, that'll affect my digestion.
I just remember when I was in the Grand Canyon, we used the Groover.
That's the Groover?
Yeah, that's what the poop box that we had.
Yeah.
And I you talk about right as rain, you know.
Could you do it?
Oh, absolutely.
No problem.
Like first thing in the morning, and
boom.
Then as soon as we got, you know, settled before dinner.
Was it the sound of the cascading water behind you that...
I don't know, but I really, you know, I know it's off-putting for a lot of people.
To crap in a box?
But I...
You just took to it naturally.
I took to it naturally. I really did.
I guess I'm a box crapper.
Guys,
I found something I'm really good at.
You got to follow your dream.
They were the most.
This is for you, Mick.
They were the most scenic dumps I had ever taken in my life. I'll give you that.
According to David Poppers, gastroenterologist at NYU, Vic has a number of causes. For starters, travelers tend to change up what they eat and drink, and that has an effect on your gut bacteria. You end up eating a lot of carbs, drinking more coffee, and consuming more alcohol than usual. All of that can have a negative effect on your regularity. Other factors include stress.
Mm.
Even regular flyers can get nervous. Not getting enough sleep, waking up earlier, staying up late to catch flight, things like that. And sitting for long periods of time in a plane or car.
Yeah, all right.
And last but not least, travel often disrupts our potty routine. We usually have a certain time of day when we like to claim the porcelain throne, but travel throws us off of that schedule, and how do you keep regular? So a lot of prevention involves not changing your routine as much as you can if you're going on vacation, which is hard to do.
I think the best thing to do is just slam the Dulcolax before, you know, just keep power taking that. You'll be fine.
I always take Pepto with me when I travel for the opposite.
You know, to bind you diarrhea. Up a
yeah. The other
that's worse.
Yeah. My God. That's why that Imodium.
You ever have a
that Imodium is like throwing the brakes on a runaway truck.
Yeah. You ever deal with a Montezuma's Revenge from a trip?
No,
I did in Bermuda, but it was Bermuda.
I did it from Mexico, and but you know what, Steve? It hit me when I got home. While on vacation, I was actually okay, and then I got back, and it was
horrible.
It was really bad, and I'm assuming it was the water or something, you know, a frozen drink or whatever.
And honestly, at a certain point, are you okay now, Montezuma?
Yeah.
Can you consider yourself the winner in this battle?
When I went to Cancun, I was, you know, almost 18 years old, and I get, you know, hey, don't get to any ice in your drinks and blah, blah,
yeah.
blah. Well, I got soup. Like an idiot. You know, I didn't, you know,
There's
no water in soup. I wasn't even thinking.
Yeah.
And luckily for me, I got chicken noodle soup.
Yeah.
And I didn't eat much of it because they kept the skin on the chicken, which was nasty.
Yeesh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try not to change up your diet. Avoid excessive amounts of caffeine and alcohol. Get plenty of sleep before and while you travel, and give yourself opportunities to move around. Walk around on the plane, stop at rest stops, and take a walk and exercise when you normally would at the hotel gym, or you're supposed to do that. So anyhow, that's how you can keep pooping a little bit more on vacation. But I never heard of vacation-induced constipation.
Vic,
for
short.
Kind
of a cool name.
So Vic. I'm going to keep that in mind. All right, I want to try to stay on time a little bit here because we're going to go live on, or we're going to go back on Fox Good Day.
I believe so.
9:45. They're doing this spring spruce up with Casey today. He's got a new outfit on. Looks nice. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I haven't looked at it in the mirror.
Okay. Oh, this is a new shirt. I've not seen it.
New shirt, new shorts, new shirt.
New everything.
Ooh.
So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back.
I'm wearing two new shirts.
And just
he looks like the Michelin Man.
In just a moment. Let me give away some movie passes for the screening that we have on Tuesday night. And this will be for, what the hell movie do we have?
Pacific Rim.
I forgot. Pacific Rim.
Hey!
Uprising. So 5 callers, 215-263-WMMRUA, King of Prussia, next Tuesday, 7:30. You need to be there by 7. We'll be back in just a moment.
Throughout 2018, MMR celebrates 50 years rockin' Philly. Keep listening for special birthday events and special programming from our long, strange trip together. Every hour this weekend, we highlight 1984, the year MMR turned 16, and the year that gave us This Is Spinal Tap.
These come to 11.
The first commercial CD players, Purple Rain, and Legend from Bob Marley and the Wailers. While Ghostbusters, The Terminator, and The Karate Kid kicked butt on the movie scene. At MMR, the DJs had new albums from Van Halen, The Pretenders, and U2. I wanna rock!
plus Twisted Sister, Bruce Springsteen, Talking Heads, Metallica, Queen, and debuts from Bon Jovi and Red Hot Chili Peppers, and lots, lots more from 1984. Listen all weekend as we highlight another page from our scrapbook of shared musical memories. On 93.3 WMMR, everything that's rocked Philly for 50 amazing years.
All right, let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Scruples Gentlemen's Club. You looking to party with the hottest girls in Bucks County? Then come party with the ladies of Scruples Gentlemen's Club. You can enjoy happy hour specials and visit GodScruples.com for more information. A Grammy-nominated producer claims he successfully got a traffic ticket dismissed by arguing that his Tesla Model S was operating in the car's semi-autonomous autopilot mode at the time he was pulled over in Los Angeles. But a spokesperson says the case was dismissed because a responding police officer didn't show up. Ever since Tesla debuted the autopilot in 2015, numerous drivers have been publishing videos that showed the system being pushed to its limits and beyond. Tesla advises drivers that they must keep attention the whole time to be prepared at a moment's notice. But drivers have shown the system can be used in ways that exceeds Tesla's recommendation. And this week, Joseph Murad, better known as music producer DJ Clipso, said that he successfully convinced a traffic court in L.A. to dismiss his ticket. And there was a clip of the incident, and it shows Murad driving past a patrolman on a motorcycle while his feet were hanging out of the window.
His feet? Oh, I hate when people do that.
I mean, come on, dude.
It's a little too... I hate when the passengers do it, when the quote-unquote driver's doing it.
The driver was doing it as he's driving by a cop. So as you can imagine, the cop pulled him
over.
Of
course he's going to pull him over.
He was cited for operating a cell phone while driving because he was on his phone at the time.
He should have put an air mattress on the top of the car and taken a nap.
And also driving at unsafe speed for traffic conditions.
There's a whole bunch of stuff that needs to be rewritten when we start with the autonomous vehicles.
Yep. A teacher was arrested after getting into a fight with another mother over what the woman wore to their children's baseball practice. Terry Lee Corsi, who teaches at Clay High School, was suspended following her arrest. Corsi has pleaded not guilty to first-degree misdemeanor charge of simple battery in the case. Now, the fracas happened at about 7 p.m. during a Little League practice held at Orange Park Athletic baseball fields. A deputy answering the call spoke with the victim, who said that she was watching the practice when Corsi criticized her for wearing short shorts to the practice.
Mm.
The victim said things escalated when Corsi attacked her. She said that she was repeatedly punched in the face and then tackled.
For wearing short shorts?
For wearing short shorts. And this is in Florida, gang.
They wear shorts!
They wear shorts all the time. There were visible bruises on the victim's forearms, a cut on her right wrist, and abrasions on her shoulder, elbow, and chest, the deputy wrote in his report.
So, Preston, who had short shorts?
She had short shorts.
She had short shorts?
She had short shorts. Corsi spoke with police about the incident the next day, and the content of the conversation was redacted from her arrest report. A grandfather has described how he fought off a massive shark by punching it in the head. Robert Crossland was swimming Friday when he came face to face with big trouble. First thing he said I saw was the fin just circled around me, and then it came straight at me. This is in Australia, of course. The man known as Robbo was 100 meters offshore.
His name is Robbo.
He says his bright pink shorts. Right hook may have scared what it may have been a white pointer. He said, I punched it. I was just treading water, waiting for it each time. Six or seven times, just punched it each time. It swam around and came back, and I was waiting for the jaw to open. Thankfully, it didn't, and Robbo is now a local legend, as you would imagine.
How old is he?
He's 69 years old. The beach has reopened after Robbo's ordeal with aerial spotters on high alert, by the way.
Everyone there has a punching a shark story.
But he punched out a shark and lived. All right. Yeah. We're going to wrap up the B-File there a little bit short. I apologize. We're going to go live on Fox 29 in just a moment with more of Casey's reveal.
Ooh.
So I want to take a commercial break. We're going to do it during the commercials.
Yeah.
And we'll come back and we'll see how he's doing it. We had Jennifer Frederick, who's here, gave him a new outfit.
He's going to reveal the whole thing.
Yeah. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment or two. Stay with us because we'll have a lesson question on the way shortly. We want you to win with that. Be right back.
And Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the
Go live via MMR's mobile app.
Secret text word. We'll get a winner in a little bit. So just keep in mind, you can still text in the word secret to 39333. And we'll have your opportunity to see Bill Murray, who will be in Our Fair City on April 4th, along with cellist Jan Vogler. And they're performing live on stage at the Academy of Music on April 4th. And it's called Bill Murray, Jan Vogler and Friends, New Worlds. So it should be pretty cool. And we'll talk to Bill and Jan tomorrow morning on the show.
That's so cool.
Yeah, around 9:30. And then we are bolting out the door because we're headed out of spring training. We've got to catch flight.
I'm getting nervous right now.
I know. We'll see how this goes. We're going to do the lesson question today. We're going to give away tickets to see Buck Cherry at the Block at Harrah's, Philadelphia on Saturday, April 14th. Question that I have for you today is, all right, of course, what did Stephen Hawking call a fart in a tub?
Oh, jeez.
Not what it is. It's not a gorf or whatever that was called.
A gorp.
Not a gorp. It's what Stephen Hawking called a fart in a bathtub.
So it's what a physicist would call it.
215-263-WMMR. Call now. We'll do the trash while we are awaiting your call.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, and this morning is brought to you by Philadelphia Flyers and Make Your Next Flyers Game, a Yuengling night out. Starting at just $50, this offer gets you a game ticket, 24-ounce beer, and more. Shop now at PhiladelphiaFlyers.com. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Meek Mill was able to call in from prison to thank attendees at a local rally event for his release. Al Sharpton, who was at the event, brought the crowd to their feet, telling Meek, quote, "Release of the prison UMWB."
Oh, my God.
Former MTV star, current porn star Farrah Abram, appeared to collapse attending a fashion show with some of her adult film friends on Monday night. Fortunately, one of those friends leapt into action, performing ass-to-mouth resuscitation.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Kanye West probably returning to a studio. He is returned to a studio in the mountains of Wyoming again to begin working on his next album. West says he loves the mountains because they're like the ocean, only harder and taller. That's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, dear friend, we need you to dig deep and recall what was said earlier this morning. We're talking about Stephen Hawking, unfortunately, passed away, died today, from what I understand. And we were talking about what a fart in a tub is called. It's normally when you would talk about a world-famous physicist, you bring up farts in bathtubs.
You'd think so, yeah.
Yeah, what did Stephen Hawking call a fart in a tub? 215-263-WMMR. And I will go to Kevin. Hey, Kevin, how you doing, man?
There was a lot of love in the family.
Yes, very well done.
Very good. All right, what did Stephen Hawking call a fart in a tub?
Bardipple.
Yeah, yeah. Bardipple. Yeah. You got it. Hang on, buddy. Just set you up with some tickets to go and see Buck Cherry at the Block at Harrah's, Philadelphia on Saturday, April 14th. Tickets are on sale now at harrahsphilly.com, by the way, so... Let's do music news. Here we go.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! And this morning is brought to you by the Gold Club. Come celebrate St. Patty's Day, the fun way. Exotic Dancer of the Year, Angela Summers.
Whoa.
We'll be performing Thursday to Saturday. And you can visit worldfamousgoldclub.com for info and follow their Facebook and Instagram. We got this info yesterday. MMR presents Five Finger Death Punch and Breaking Benjamin, co-headlining at BB&T Pavilion Wednesday, August 15th. Complete details at WMMR.com. Jackson is going to have some tickets all this week to give away, so make sure you listen to Jackson. And they will release, it turns out, Five Finger Death Punch, their seventh full-length studio album, And Justice for None, on May 18th. A long-awaited set is available for pre-order as a standard 13-track physical CD, a deluxe physical CD featuring 3 hours bonus tracks and exclusive artwork, and a vinyl set also containing the 3 extra tracks and special gatefold artwork. Fans who pre-order the LP will also receive an exclusive ticket pre-sale code for Five Finger Death Punch's just-announced North American summer co-headlining tour.
By the way, Benjamin, if you're using your Dakota rings at home, there's a message for
Breaking
you.
Bed. Yeah. You
know what he just
you know
said.
What it is.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm not feeling too well.
Yeah, you had your Your stomach is acting up, right?
I started feeling crappy just a few minutes ago, yeah.
I was just down the hall in the woman's bathroom, and there was a woman in there throwing up.
Oh, really? No.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you get on the phone?
Yeah.
I beelined it out of there. Didn't breathe while I was in there. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to get sick.
Are you a reactionary? Are you a puker when someone pukes? Are
not
you...
reactionary. I just figured I would get sick with whatever she had if I stayed in there too long.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I have two sick kids at home right now.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting ready to leave town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I'm not going home today.
Hey, Pearl Jam has confirmed that its new song, Can't Deny Me, is from the band's upcoming 11th studio album.
We knew that.
It'll be their first since 2013's Lightning Bolt. The song, with lyrics by Eddie Vedder and music by guitarist Mike McCready, was co-produced by Pearl Jam and longtime collaborator Brendan O'Brien. Some say it sounds like Kokomo.
Yep.
The track was recorded in Seattle last month and released as a surprise early download to fan club members last Saturday.
Kokomo is like a place in your mind.
McCready said that the band never really has a plan when it makes a new LP. He said, when you sit down to write a record, it's not... we kind of never go, this is our thoughts on what it should be. The recording process itself and the songs will start to tell you as it goes on what it is. So we don't exactly know what we have when we first start out.
They opened their tour last night. They're doing some South American dates, Latin America, and they did this song on the tour last night on their opening show.
Okay. Cool. Hey, Nick, I'm pretty sure you follow Chris Long on Twitter. He tweeted out last night there was a March Madness of Pearl Jam songs.
Yeah.
And Immortal won the whole thing. Which
Immortality.
Immortality. Okay, yeah. I don't even know that song.
It's on Versus.
I was surprised that Jeremy wasn't given a number one seed, to tell you the truth.
There are all these music brackets now. So there's one with Kanye. There's one with a whole bunch of, hip-hop artists.
Right. And, it's kind of interesting.
And I saw this one with Pearl Jam as well. And, it's, whether or not you like a band is up for debate and is subjective, and whether or not you like a particular song is certainly even more so. So, who's to say what a band's best song is, even if you don't even like that band?
Yeah, did you fill out this bracket by any chance?
I did not.
Oh, okay. Will you?
Probably not.
Please?
I'll do it right now.
Okay.
I'll be back in a minute.
Kokomo is number one.
Kokomo is number one.
Can't Deny Me has since been made available for purchase at pearljam.com and via all digital stores and streaming services. And the song appears to take direct aim at Donald Trump, although without mentioning his name. A release date and title for the full album have yet to be revealed. Pearl Jam is kicking off a South American tour this week, as Nick had said, and shows scheduled for Europe and North America are in the coming months.
Last night they were in Santiago, Chile.
Santiago, twice last year.
That's right.
All right, and then one last story. Jack White was asked if the White Stripes could ever reunite. In a new interview with Rolling Stone, he said, I highly doubt that would ever be a thing. The notion of a White Stripes reunion came up when White was asked if he has ever put certain songs aside for either of his projects, the Recon Tours or the Dead Weather, instead of his own solo recordings or the Stripes back when the band was active.
I mean, getting the White Stripes together would involve making one phone call.
Yeah, it would. White responded, that doesn't really happen too much, adding, I'm not telling people what to think about the White Stripes. They can think whatever they want about it. But there is a case to be made that in a lot of ways, the White Stripes is Jack White solo in a lot of ways, which he's right.
It's completely that way.
Yeah, I mean, he wrote the melodies, the lyrics, everything, and White just played the rhythm. So
he even held her left hand and used it. Up and down when she was drumming, Preston. There's
really?
Not much more you could do.
That's no. He helped out a lot in that. So
he was really good with the right.
Right. He was actually holding her from behind her arms. Oh, look at you playing the drums.
But the likelihood of them getting back together is pretty slim, he says. All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in music news this morning. And we are now going to give ourselves or try to get ourselves a winner for the secret text word. Kathy, give me a juicy number caller, please.
Does juicy mean large?
Like bigger, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go with 21.
That's perfect. Caller 21 at 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the secret text word. Give us a call. We'll take a break. We'll come back in a second. Get our winner, and we'll get the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize when we return. Stay put.
New, old, and everything in between. MMR rocks.
We are reaching the end of the program a little bit earlier than usual, but we're kind of getting we're preparing for tomorrow because we need to end by 10 o'clock tomorrow. We got to be out the door. because we are headed to a live broadcast in FLA.
Yeah.
For Philly spring training. I'm excited, man. We're going to meet, we're going to have a lot of people on the show.
That's the first time we've done it in 20 years on the air. We talked about doing this, and it never worked out. So we're finally going to do it.
Yep.
Yeah, I think you guys, I really hope you guys have a good time. I've been, Casey's been, Kathy's been, Marissa's been, but Clearwater itself is a cool place to go see a game, and there are so many Philadelphians that are going to be there this week. It'll be Philly South, and I really hope you guys enjoy it as much as I have.
There's going
to
be some painful memories for me because I was on the way up. I was a ball player, and I went to a hotel room with this woman. She shot me.
Oh, man.
No.
And
you were a natural back in the day.
I was. Yes, they called me a natural.
Yeah.
Yeah. And things went south. I'll just leave it at that.
All right. Well, hopefully we can get past that.
I wanted to bring something to your attention, Preston, and I'm sorry to spring this on you, but I found this next to my desk earlier this morning.
Oh, my.
It's a chewed up pen.
Look at this, Steve.
Dude, that what is he doing? Coming in here and chewing it?
You've been bam-bammed.
No. That's a calling card.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Oh. Well, it was right here to the right of where I sit. And it's not just the cap. It's the whole pen.
Oh, it's the whole thing, yeah.
That's what I was talking about with the Sharpie yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah, he was going through your stuff.
All right.
Okay. He was going through your stuff,
wait a second,
man.
Here, because does he listen? Is he listening right about now?
He may be asleep by now.
Text him. No. Would he wake up if you texted him? All right. I have an idea, and I'll just leave it at that. We'll talk about it.
All right. Marissa?
Do you guys think that has anything to do with Pierre doing 3-Day Grace in our studio?
Well, I was wondering, because we did have our studio taken over yesterday.
No, because yours was found the day before.
Yeah, the day before. That's true.
And there was no takeover coinciding with that. But no. I think I have an idea.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. We'll work on that.
Are we going to poison him?
No.
No. Let's wait. We'll get the idea off air.
I tried that. His system handled it.
Okay.
Remember, he was out. I mean, he was out of work for a little while.
That's right. But I thought Kawari would be it, but no.
So he's got like a regenerative thing, like Wolverine.
He's been poisoned so many times, he's built up resistance.
Oh, okay. And immunity to it. Wow. All right, we need to look for caller number 21 because we got to give away our secret text word prize, and I'm going to go to Kyle. Hey, Kyle, how you doing?
Hey, Preston Gadzooks.
Thanks, buddy. You are caller 21, so what is the secret text word for today?
Baby steps.
Yeah, baby steps. That is correct, Kyle. Hang on, and that's got to be a reference to What About Bob.
Yes.
Because Bill Murray is in What About Bob, and we have tickets for Kyle to go see Bill Murray and Jan Vogler and Friends. New Worlds is what it's called. And features, of course, Bill Murray and world-renowned cellist Jan Vogler live on stage at the Academy of Music on April 4th. And it's a fascinating encounter between great music and great literature featuring two masters of their art. Tickets and info at KimmelCenter.org. And our random texter is... I think that says Sean Lauser.
Sean. Yeah, pronounced Sean.
Oh, Sean Lauser from Delran, New Jersey. So we're going to give him the same thing. So congratulations to you both. Thank yous in order. Thanks to Jennifer Frederick, Fox 29. And we also had Angela and Elisa who were here this morning. Angela Perfetto, who is, of course, from Gravity Hair Salon in Plymouth Meeting. And Elisa's company,
Dressing
Kathy?
Jane.
Dressing Jane. And they came by and they gave Casey this is quick spring spruce up to give him some a new look and to think about different styles and so
forth. I'd say a spectacular spring spruce up.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd say that none of it sunk in at all.
No. No. Okay, not even a little bit.
Okay. All right.
By the way, do we get the results of that Twitter poll?
Yeah, right now, a lot of people are saying Casey looks great.
There you go.
It's 62% to 38%, and the other alternative was Casey is already perfect.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
So they like your new look, Casey.
Because you are beautiful,
no matter what they say. Words can bring you down.
There's a picture of the office with all our office with all you guys there. And in the background is nothing but toys.
It's all toys.
Iron Man bust and everything. Oh, my God.
Yep. So you can take a look at our Twitter account if you'd like to vote along and what you think of Casey. Also, thank you to DJ Cummerbund, who was on the show this morning. The Mashup Madness game that we did was awesome, and maybe he'll work together a theme for us, but he's got a lot of great songs, and we'll play it again for sure.
He's very talented.
Thank you to Diane Heary of Heary Casting. If you are interested in being in the movie Creed 2, they have all kinds of roles that are available, from extras to speaking roles, 17 to 70 years old. all ethnicities, everything.
Maybe you'll be Creed.
They're looking for, and it's very simple. I don't have the website. What is
PrestonandSteve.com.
All right, go to PrestonandSteve.com, and it says be an extra for the Creed 2 movie filming now in Philly. And then you just click on that, and you'll get the info and get signed up for it because it starts in early April, I think.
And it's going all the way through to Memorial Day.
Yeah, yeah, so they'll be here for a while. Let me see. We need to do the letter of the day in case you're going to be handling that.
Yes, sir.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
P as in Pierre Robert.
All right. And we will give that away on Friday when we're down in Florida. The Word of the Week prize this week is a chance to go to the premiere of WB's Ready Player One. Monday, March 26th, the Dolby Theater in Los Angeles. Ready Player One opens on March 30th in theaters, and that will be everywhere. Thank you to the sponsors of the Preston and Steve Show. Our program has been brought to you today by Winter Airport Parking. They're also going to be sponsoring our live broadcast on Friday.
Yes, they will.
The 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Also brought to you by Royal Caribbean. This is not the Caribbean. This is the Royal Caribbean. Come seek. And also brought to you by Sergeant Scrap. Attention, tradesmen, don't take crap for your scrap. Learn more at SergeantScrap.com. Tomorrow on the program, as I said, Bill Murray and Jan Vogler will be getting in touch with us. And we'll also have in the studio comedian Rachel Feinstein, as well as many other things. So that is it. We are done. Rage on and have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Hey, this goes out to my wife. You're a bitch.
Next message.
I f***ing love you guys because I was in such a funk, but then you played the mashup game, and I'm sitting here cracking up with Steve's rendition of no, no, no. Love you, Preston and Steve.
Next message.
You know, people, there's certain things in life that you can do at another time. Looking at your phone and looking at your email or looking at porn is not to be done while you're behind the f***ing wheel.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.